to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Try that again. Right, right.
Right, right.
Right, right. Feeling better. Feeling stronger than last week. Feeling much better.
Good. Waiting for it.
Yeah. Same here.
Just waiting. Knowing it'll happen probably on the first day of Christmas.
Well, that
just waiting for the inevitable.
That won't happen for months and months and months and months.
You always get it early, and then it just sits there and it hides. And I'm sitting there going, hey, I dodged a bullet. And then all of a sudden one day, everybody's healthy, and I wake up and it's like,
it stalks you.
Ah,
it's not like you're expectorating, you know, around here at all. It's not like you're not hurling your germs in the air today.
I cover my mouth when I do that.
It helps.
I do this. And quite often I try to use the cough button, which is useless in a room with other microphones that are turned on.
Yeah, you'll be heard.
You hear.
Yeah, right.
I mean everybody heard that. It might as well just be. But still, let me say this.
Uh-huh.
Because I am an optimist. What are you doing?
Weekenders aren't allowed to use my chair anymore.
Because I can't have it. I'm telling you, I'm over the hump on this thing. And I'm feeling better than I did all last week. And who says that there's not some kind of sweet justice in this world?
Mm-hmm.
My sweet fair-haired wife.
Yes?
Has come down with the very same malady.
Oh, no.
And this is justice because...
I will show her over the coming days the exact same level of comfort, of TLC, that's what the kids call it.
Right, that's
of
right.
Of the TLC that was shown to me.
I see.
Because, you know, we've got a policy in our house.
Uh-huh.
That policy is, if you're sick, shut up about it.
Uh-huh.
Just shut up. Nobody cares. Just get well and shut up.
You know what I think happened to Mike's chair?
What?
Ken Meese.
Ken Meese, then his fat ass isn't going to be in this chair anymore.
Oh, no.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
He's a market legend.
That is just not going to happen.
Now, hold on. I want
the chair hidden on the weekend.
I'm not following this. I think what I'll do is
put the recline feature on so that I can, you know.
It's like the guy that pushes.
What is wrong with the chair?
When I sit in my, you know, this might come as a surprise to all of you and also our listeners. When I sit in my semi-reclining position, it's really not semi-reclining. The chair has a very straight back. So I can put my feet up and sit up at attention, paying attention to you, and also seeing over, you know, what appears to be a growing number of electronical devices that you are putting on your...
Electronical
devices.
Yeah. Right.
And this chair, when I came in today, was reclined at such a level as to provide, sleeping.
Readjusted.
I don't know who did that, but somebody did it. And it's the first... Well, those guys have been here... No, he's new, isn't he?
Yep,
he is.
Mace.
The chair should be draped on Fridays.
Amen.
You loved his dad.
You remember the big deal? Remember that?
You loved his dad, Edwin Meese.
Yeah, so he was good.
The guy that provided me with the... John Norman has brought in the note.
What's that
say? He thinks it was Charles Mann. I'm not going to say anything bad about him.
Of course not.
No. But
he's the big tough guy. No, okay. I don't think it's Charles Mann at all. Charles Mann has been here for a while, and the chair's never been messed with.
I think Charles Mann uses this.
I think this one belongs to Meese.
That's a good point.
Well, either way, can I just say this? We just played a commercial for Charles Mann that he just did.
I've never seen you get more excited about it.
And I got so pumped up, I had to open up the microphone at the end of the commercial and just go, yeah!
You were very pumped up.
Yeah!
Very excited.
I wouldn't mind giving that a free shot.
You want me to find it?
You could.
It's exciting.
It is exciting.
Just for a second.
It's exciting.
So at least you know the voice of one of the people that Mike is discussing here who may or may not have broken his chair.
I think it was. It's not broken. It's just adjusted.
Re-adjusted.
This is a very complicated piece of furniture that was given to me by that great sales guy, and it has a lot of little adjustments on it.
It's like when somebody drives your car and they change the mirror and the seat and all of that.
I mean, I got a very specific way I sit during this show, and I should probably figure this all out before we go on the air.
Well, but that's the magic of our show.
Mm-hmm.
That's the magic of the show.
This is the pre-show.
And you should know.
It's foolish to make assumptions that things are going to be normal, that little things are going to be taken care of.
You should know that on the weekend, because this is the radio station, JFK, that runs the Redskins games.
Mm-hmm.
They got like a million different people. It's not like we have a variety of studios.
No.
This is the studio.
For all, everything.
Right here, hit that one.
Hi, I'm Charles Mann. At Passport Nissan, we specialize in Nissan. Our expert technicians have at least 5 years experience before they're even allowed to touch your ride.
Boy, is he good.
He is. Very personable, very charming.
Can I just hear the beginning again?
I think so.
He's a former NFL player, you know.
He is. Used to be a neighbor of mine, as a matter of fact. He did.
What happened?
Well, all those guys lived in your neighborhood.
not exactly next door to you, but in a general area.
You know, 5 minutes away. Close.
Yeah. Not as bad as when David Hanlein said he was a neighbor of yours.
That's like the whole North Potomac thing.
Good.
But anyway.
Hi, I'm Charles Mann. At Passport Nissan, we specialize in Nissan. Our expert technicians have at least 5 years experience before they're even allowed to touch your ride. Hmm.
You know what you don't know about that?
What?
What's so great is that...
That's only like 25 takes. Just to get
him.
That's it?
We got a stellar broadcast crew here.
We do.
That works on the weekends with our NFL coverage.
I want to say there is no stone that is left unturned when this radio station goes all NFL on Sunday.
No stone is unturned and no stone is unsponsored.
I think I'd like to put a restriction on advertisers for next season, that there can be no ad with the word winning team in it.
Oh, the bad football, bad imagery?
They've been really pounded into the ground. And you know, the former football players are used more than anybody. And winning team is probably the...
You know,
I think that's part of your
phrase.
Winning team.
Tomorrow on the show, we got to get to the groaners here. But tomorrow on the show, we're going to be joined by, from the Tampa Bay Bucks, disgruntled quarterback Brad Johnson,
mm-hmm.
who is kind of a friend of ours. We've been at a couple of different things with Brad when he played for the Redskins. Well, Robbie?
He's filtered through my system this year. Oh, hi, Brad.
Oh, what's your fantasy football league?
It was great.
So, here's the point about Brad Johnson. Have you seen the commercial where he's still doing the ads for the car place? Now,
yeah, where the car dealer paid him so much money that he wants to still get more on his investment.
So he's not played for the Redskins for 3 years. He's gone to Tampa Bay. He won the Super Bowl for Tampa Bay, for Christ's sakes, 2 years ago. And now you see this on the commercials that they run on before the Redskins game,
mm-hmm.
where it used to say, Washington Redskins quarterback Brad Johnson talks about why he likes this car. Now, Super Bowl winning quarterback Brad Johnson talks about what he likes about this car.
Yeah, hardly know that.
They still run it.
You bet they do.
Still do. And they probably say winning team in it.
Anyway,
probably.
Let me just give a big shout out to everybody that works here on the weekend.
I'd love them.
Yes, we love the weekenders.
We do.
Hi, B&E Products. Oh, don't bring him into this. It's B&G, Mike.
BG.
Whatever it is.
BG.
Out of
Wichita.
BG.
You always can have a table waiting for you at Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Hold on. That was an unnecessary plug, Mike. That's a freebie for you.
No need. I kill me.
Let me just say hello to you on this good-looking Monday.
Hello, Mr. Shannon.
Would you think I forget about this? Do you think that other crap actually counts as pre-show entertainment? It don't.
No, I'm still having it. No need.
Hello. Hello, I am Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale. I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills.
Well, I
am personal banker to Granny.
I thought your restaurant was your Sloppy Joe's, incidentally.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Your Five Alarm Chili.
Oh.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I thought that you were nearly breaking even.
we are, but it still cracks me up to say no need, Mr. Shannon, because there's always a need.
Yeah. Well,
as a matter
hello.
Of fact, I would be needy.
This is Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Mildred.
What is a pirate's favorite kind of surgery?
What?
Arthroscopic. Welcome to the groaners. Completely lame groaners.
They are. La, la.
Hello. Uh-huh. I'm Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
As the groaners get smaller, the laughs get bigger.
That's right.
Where does a pirate like to shop? Target.
Oh.
Come on. Hello. Hello.
These are still free.
Okay, I'll cut it down to three. Cut it down to three.
The last joke.
Hello, I'm still Scott Shannon. I'm still believing in this bit of the show every day. Completely lame groaners.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
What NBA player is made out of clay?
Which one?
Adobe Bryant.
Hey, now.
Oh. The Don and Mike Show.
Let's get started in here.
You gotta play along now.
That's part of the fun of the garbage.
Come on. What's the biggest classic rock band in Egypt?
What?
Pharaoh Smith. In Egypt, Pharaoh Smith.
Yeah, I get it.
Hello.
Pharaoh.
The ones that are actually funny?
Hello.
That's funny.
Yeah. John Kerry.
Oh, hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
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 You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Open the rhetorical door.
It's the true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
How have you been?
Nah.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Clinton Poitier set on the ships to sea. I tell you what, they picked a lousy time to spend the weekend together in Fallujah. It's Dr. Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Thank you, Robbie.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, everybody. This is the Don and Mike Show. And hello.
Hello. Hello.
Tony Soprano.
Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Don and Mike Show new episode on this Monday.
Monday
110804.
I'm Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here. No, he's not retarded.
Hi there. I hope everybody had a very nice, safe weekend. Mm-hmm. Don and Mike Show new episode this Monday. It is November 8th. 20-04. Call us from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. From Canada, from Mexico, 800-636-1067. And Washington, D.C. on WJFK FM. You can call us at 202-432-1067. There are a couple of shows during the week that I like doing the best.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Friday show because it's the end of the week.
Right.
And we get the NFL stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then I like the Thursday show because we always have Jeopardy, and that's always a good bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Monday because I get to come in and tell you whatever I did on the weekend.
Yes.
Good, bad,
or sound better. You sound like you're healthier.
Yeah, I told you, I'm feeling much better. It was just...
It's good.
And listen, I'm not going to dwell on this because there's a much more important weekend story to come. But it's just... After you felt like crap with this, and I don't think I had the flu. I think I had a cold.
Right. Yeah, if you had the flu, you would have been really wiped.
Let me just say, you know, please tell the Academy that I believe the award should be coming my way, because last week, who knew that I was on death's door? I may have mentioned it up to 8 times per show that I was very sick.
No.
But still, at this, but that's down. That's down from many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I owe that.
You do. And you're sick sometimes and don't tell anybody.
So,
right?
And I owe this to my wife. Because, you know, over the years, Frida, her whole thing has been...
She's toughened you up?
That's right. You're sick. Well, shut up. Get well. You know, take care of yourself. Eat vitamins. Do what you have to do. Just shut up and get well. And
people want to be babied when they're sick.
Yes,
we do.
Yes, they do. And unless you live in an environment where it's, you know, it tough it out.
Not allowed.
And now it's... it's kind of the shoes on the other foot right now because
I don't think any one human being really likes to care for another human being when that person's really sick.
No, I can't
there
imagine.
There are probably exceptions to every rule.
Nurses, maybe.
But, you know, my mommy was good at it when we were all sick, and she never seemed to get sick. But I think most people just don't, you know, I don't like being around sick people, and I think most people don't.
No, and in my case, all I'm looking for is just a little something that's just, it's non-existent.
Honestly, you're looking for as much as you can get, right?
Don't we all want that? What I'm doing there is I'm going at, you know, J.R. Ewing, I saw that show last night, P.U.
Oh.
That's like J.R. drilling into the ground and coming up with no oil. I mean, that's not going to happen for me. So what I'm doing is to compensate the fact that now I do feel better, and sadly, my child bride has this ailment,
yeah.
And if she wasn't at work today, I'd call her up because it's in her voice.
Really?
I had it all in like the lungs and stuff. She's got it just, she's like this.
Right.
As much as I would like to walk up to her and say, ha ha, you're sick. And I was sick last week, and you didn't wait on me and bring me breakfast in bed, or I'll constantly ask how I'm doing and how I'm feeling, or even inquire as to my temperature. I mean, I'd like to come back with all that, but still, I can't.
No.
And I find myself always caving every time. Even like now, I don't mean to cave. It's just I see her and she's sick, and
right.
I say, "Can I do anything for you? Can I get anything for you?" And she says, you know, just as steely as when she was well, you know. No, I'm fine. I'm just sick. Leave me alone. I can handle this on my own. Right. I'm just sick.
So she's got it bad, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had cold.
Yeah, she's got it. She got it bad.
You going to bring something home for her tonight?
Pardon me?
You going to bring something home for her tonight?
Yeah, some brass knuckles. What am I going to bring home for her tonight?
Yeah, make her forget the cold.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, if you bring brass knuckles home.
Oh, that would make her forget the cold. Yeah, so
right.
So would a nice big long athletic sock with a piece of soap in the end of it. But Mike, I'm a civilized man.
Well, right. I was just thinking maybe some sort of tea or something. You know, a nice warm tea.
No, she's got all the
celestial.
She's got all that crap already. And trust me, I don't see why she gets sick anyway. For goodness sake, she must have some type of credit with God and with Buddha or whoever else. She goes to her crazy Chinese Pilates. Mm-hmm. Feng shui, gotta get my zen together, gotta light candles, gotta make sure that I don't eat any preservatives, I gotta pray for the chickens, you know.
Doesn't help against the
cold. So you are kind of living that healthy lifestyle also.
What healthy lifestyle?
That she advocates, right? Don't you eat that food? Don't you go along with it?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Although sometimes on the occasion, like yesterday, I went to the store to go grocery shopping, and I thought, well, I'll get some chicken for my wife.
Good.
It turns out when I got home, I didn't get the right kind of chicken.
Of course.
Well, first off, I didn't pray for the chickens in the grocery store.
Well, I would think with her, it would just be boneless, skinless. Is it boneless, skinless, free range?
Organic. Yeah, but it's got to be organic. Mm-hmm. That's it, Buzz, with right. No preservatives added. And do you look at the labels on this? And, you know, meanwhile, I'm just going, hey, listen, baby, I went to the store and tried to pick up a couple of things for you.
Right. I heard that no preservative stuff's chock full of worms.
Yeah, it is.
You know, the best chicken I ever had, and I mean this, it's always... Just with frozen, the cheapest ass box brand that you can find at a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You bring that home, you pop that in some night when you're really hungry.
You mean like like a fried chicken or something like that?
Yeah, I'm talking like Banquet.
Banquet, yeah.
Tyson would be a step below Banquet, I think.
Is Tyson below Banquet? I got some Tyson in my my freezer, and I...
For preparing dinner,
it's just...
Probably. I think Tyson's a name brand right up there with Purdue.
Yeah, but if you want to go down to the bottom shelf right away, head to the Manor House.
Rob wrote to the grocery store, so he'll be good at this.
Now, that might just be a regional thing around here.
I think that is a Safeway O&O, so I think you'll everyone. See that...
Manor House. Manor House breaded cutlets.
With all of that, and I've got plenty more that I want to talk to you about, including an update on that car wash that I went into a couple of weeks ago where the girl jumped out of the car.
Yeah.
Really, how can I possibly, with all these things that I want to talk about with the weekend and things that are relevant and the people that I know here at the show with stuff going on, my brother has to go to the top of the pile today.
You mentioned that in the office. You didn't tell me what it was about, but it sounds like something significant.
So let me tell you how this happens. Now, there's a reason that you're hearing a choo-choo train.
Okay.
Okay? Come and ride the little train that is going down the track. Listen carefully. Hear this sound? That's the sound of a train crash. Now, let me tell you that everybody is fine.
There are no fatalities?
There are no fatalities.
Are there any major injuries?
No. Except in my wallet. Now, here is the call I get on Saturday morning, very early, from my brother. He says, dude, if I didn't have bad luck, I would have no luck. I say, what's happening? He says, now I will tell it exactly the way he said, then you may ask questions, and I will call him, and we will find out about this.
Very good.
He says, I'm going to work, and I'm coming up on whatever highway road this is in Wisconsin, and I'm coming up to a railroad crossing. And the people in the minivan in front of me look like they're going to keep driving through the intersection before the train arrives. Okay, are you following where
yeah,
I'm going?
Yeah, I'm out in an area with lots of railroad tracks, and I've been in similar situations. I know what he's talking about.
First thing I said
he thinks that they're going
to
go over the railroad tracks and keep rolling.
Yeah. So I said to him, well, what about those little swing arm things that come down to save people? He said, those often don't even come down to like 30 seconds after the train's already passed. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, so what happened? He said, well, what happens is, and he got ticketed, and he knows he's at fault here. However, this was the first thing that I hear is that it's really, he says, it's not my fault. But here's what happened. So there's this lady in front of me in this minivan, and she looked like she's going to run this thing.
Gotta beat the time.
And then at the last minute, you know, she stops, and Jimmy slams into her, and the power of that was enough to total my brother's car.
Wow.
And at that point, he pushed her onto the railroad tracks.
Oh, my God.
Now, please wait, because it gets better. Their bumpers are locked while the train is approaching. I ask my brother, how fast is the train going? He says, well, the conductor saw us, so he started to slow down. I reckon about 25 miles an hour.
That's a lot of weight.
The train ran into the minivan, which was locked in the bumpers with my brother's car, and pulled the whole thing for about 15 yards.
Including your brother's car?
Both cars. Both cars. Pulled both cars.
And everybody survived?
Yeah. Everybody's fine. He's not even making it out like it was a life altering.
You think maybe he's low-key in it a little bit?
Well,
you get hit by a train?
Yeah. Here are some of the questions that I had for him.
All right.
I said, first, thank God, just what you guys are saying. I was saying this to him on the phone Saturday. Thank God that everybody was okay. He said, yeah, I guess so. Not even thinking that there was anything wrong with this.
He then
mentioned to me that his car was totaled. And I do have some pictures of it that he sent me on the email to show you.
Wow.
And the new car that he
not the
up.
Jag.
Oh yes, Mike. Oh, it was, as Jimmy says, it was the Jaguar.
The Jaguar, his pride and joy.
Oh my That's God. Right. Now here's where it really gets Wisconsin-y. I say, so what's the deal with these people? It's your fault. You ran into them. He indicates in that Wisconsin tone, yeah, it's his fault. He got a ticket from the cops, like $180. But also, the guy from the train is upset because they bent, when the cars ran into the train, they bent the metal stairs on the back car of the train, and the conductor wants to know who's going to pay for the damage to the train.
Right.
This is Wisconsin, Mike.
So the back stairs on the engine got messed up?
I guess so.
What does that run off the railroad?
Buzz, I don't know. And then they were laying some crap on him.
I would assume that if it's a freight train and it's got some sort of insurance.
Then they're laying some crap on him about, well, because of this wreck, the train now is late today, and any damages that we incur financially because of the fact that we're running late today now because of your negligence, we're just going to send the bill to you pal, you know, when people in Des Moines want to know.
Oh, Jimmy.
How come their rubber baby buggy bumpers aren't there yet?
Jimmy.
So he called in a very distressed state.
I would imagine so, but I think he ought to thank his lucky stars that he's alive.
Well, let's get the full story, Mike.
Jesus. Wow. He is a damn dummy.
He is.
He really is.
And, you know, I'm describing it much more eloquently than he will.
Did he have that kind of, even though he was distressed, that he wasn't all that distressed? I mean, because my guy got hit by a train and died. I think
he was pissed about his car.
Of course. His beautiful Jag.
That's what he was the most mad about. Oh, no, he told me he might be laying cement this afternoon.
Oh, well, he must be doing that.
Well, see, I thought he would pick up at least.
Hey, it's Jimmy. Call me back, or I'll try and call you back.
Hey, it's Jimmy.
Hey, dude.
Oh, this is Mr. Stevenson from the Southwest Railroad. I've got a problem with you. It seems that our freight was late, and you're at fault.
Jimmy, you got to call the show. I know you said you might be busy today, but you got to call with the full details on what happened.
Lay all the concrete you want, son, but the bottom line is many of our products and services that were to get to the Midwest are delayed due to your negligence.
All right, dude, we'll talk to you later. Call the show.
Signing off, this is Mr. Richardson from B&O Railroad.
Goodbye. All right, he'll call back. I'm sure he'll call back. Now, let me show you, Mike.
All the ice cream sandwiches melted.
Oh, no.
Cover your eyes so you don't get visual aids, but don't really cover your eyes. No, I just meant, I've got a visual aid over here for you.
I like to.
Oh, the picture's from the direct jack.
You're going to have to come over on my side of the console to take a look at this email that I got from Jimmy. Subject, dead cat. This is sent yesterday at 4:14. No, Buzz, he's talking about his car.
Oh.
Because it says, here is a picture of the dead cat and the new LBS pounds. I don't get, or unless that's the type of car he got. Because it says, can't thank you enough, Jimmy.
And the new IHS.
IHS, okay. There is...
LHS.
There is the... Yeah, you're probably right, LHS. It's a Chrysler. So there's the front of that. Here's another beautiful picture. My brother's big Wisconsin-y hand.
That looks like where he plowed into the...
minivan. And where his bumper was locked with the train.
Oh, my God.
And then the next shot is a happier one.
Mm-hmm.
Once Western Union arrived. There you go.
Oh, that's his new car?
Yeah, that's the new car. That's
the Chrysler LHS.
Yes, it is.
Ah.
It's so not him.
Is that his new car?
Well, that was a car that he... It was a used car. It's a used car.
But it's a used car that, I mean...
It's new to him.
Is it a loaner or a rental? Or is
Oh, no. Maybe you're not following this. When I said Western Union helped out, that's me.
So he went out and bought a new car.
You bought him a Chrysler.
He didn't have a way to get around.
I'm sorry, it's when I'm looking at pictures I can't...
But the whole thing, I don't bring this up for that reason. I bring this up because this is like something everybody I told this to this weekend didn't believe it. I said... Okay, so here's the deal. My brother hit a car that hit a train. Well, how fast would the train go? How could they possibly have hit a train? Nobody hits a train. What are you doing, Mike?
You want me to go over to the other side now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go back. Go back to your side of the room.
Nothing.
What are you doing over here?
I was just standing there looking like an idiot. It's a goofy Monday show.
So that's it.
Wow.
I felt weird over there just standing in back of you.
I like having you here.
Thank you, Rob. Hey, come on, lady in the minivan. I'm on Jimmy's side, though, because he got into an accident with a minivan.
That's right.
It was probably a spazzy, stupid woman that braked and then started and then braked.
Mike, the rule is, no matter what somebody does in front of you, if you run into them, it's your fault. And also, there was, I think he said, like a bit of dew on the road that may have helped with the fact that he
skidded.
Slid right into her.
Man, I tell you, though, those minivans, they're a nightmare.
They latched right onto his car.
And I'm sure technically he's at fault, but in the real world...
Uh-huh.
You know, she probably could have gunned it across the railroad tracks, and he would have been right in back of her.
Oh, no, proof.
She panicked. Ooh!
Well, who knows how many illegal aliens she had in that car with her?
Probably none.
Thank God they're all
probably
safe.
Just a couple of ankle biters.
Well,
I'm glad no one was killed. Was the minivan totaled?
He said it was pretty crappy to begin with.
Yeah.
That it had a lot of work on it.
No, it was not.
I'm also glad that no one was killed, but had there been a good injury, maybe they would have learned a lesson.
Hey, it's Jimmy.
No.
Call me back.
They wouldn't.
I'll try and call you back.
Okay.
This is Mr. Richardson from the Pennsylvania Southern, and we've got problems.
Goodbye, Jimmy.
There are pumpkins all over the tracks.
Get out of here. Anyway, that's too great with my brother. So he'll call in at some point today and give us the full story, because the one thing that I didn't get from him was the sense that he felt his life was in danger at any time when he was telling
me. I got the impression looking at the car that the train was probably traveling at very low speed by the time it made contact, and he was kind of dragged a little bit, but not a lot.
Maybe
he's used to dodging death.
Even if you're hit by a train going 25 miles an hour, and you get your car gets drugged for like 15 yards.
It's terrifying.
It's a shame it wasn't a model train, because that wouldn't have done nearly the damage.
Yes, Gomez.
Thank you. Thank you for your insight, Rob.
Good evening.
As always. Oh,
my favorite part of the Addams Family.
Yes.
When he'd blow up the trains. What kid didn't like that?
Hold on. Before we break here. A little unfinished business from Friday's episode, and the continuing love saga of Beth Ann McBride.
Hello?
Oh, hello,
and,
Joe.
And
hi, good day.
This guy's love saga. Also.
Yes, and Joe Ardinger. Joe, how was your weekend?
Great. I got engaged.
Whoa!
Yeah. Hold on, you're kidding, Joe.
No.
Congratulations, Joe.
To who? To who?
To Tracy, baby.
Well, wait a minute. Now, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Was it a romantic proposal?
As romantic as I can possibly get, sure.
You ramped it up?
Well, tell us what you did, Joe. How'd you handle this? You know, this is news to all of us.
Do you have to get married, Joe?
No.
So, Joe, walk us through this in the world of Joe. Or, you know what? Never mind. I'll talk to you in a minute about it.
Okay. Yeah. Beth Ann just got back.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
I got to write that down.
Ardinger off the market. And coincidentally, Beth Ann got engaged to Paul Gorgie this weekend. Congratulations, Beth Ann.
Thank you.
The handsome Paul Gorgie sales guy.
Strikingly handsome.
Here's the latest on Beth Ann. So let me see. The show was over on Friday, and we were talking on the telephone, Beth Ann and I, as we often do, and the calls really border on sexual harassment. I want to say stop that, Beth Ann. That's just not right.
Not allowed, no.
So anyway, we're talking about stuff, and somebody keeps calling her. And she keeps saying, listen, I'm so sorry that I'm just going to ignore these calls. Mm-hmm. And when I was on the phone with her for 5 minutes, like maybe five different times.
Mm-hmm.
So I come in today, and she says, do you know who was calling me on Friday? I don't remember Friday. I said, what are you talking about? She said, remember we were on the way home talking? She kept calling me. It's that disc jockey in Bakersfield.
Oh, you mean Puck?
Yeah.
Right. So now tell everybody, because I thought you handled him real fine.
Okay, well, there's like five messages. So I call it, I don't recognize the number, and I call it back, and this kid answers and says, the Puck Show. I go, oh, it's you. And he said, this is Preston. We want you to go on the air with us. No, I'm not going on air. Leave me alone, please. Don't I work hard enough? And he said, come on. I can hear kind of Puck in the background. And then, you know, I go, okay, I want to help out. It's a Dynamite affiliate. I know.
Beth Ann, that's just so wrong.
Crap detector going off.
Okay, so...
Crap detector going off.
What are you talking about?
Yes, come on. You wanted to be in the spotlight.
I did not want to be in the spotlight.
Of course you did.
I did not, so then
I... love it. That's why we're all in this business, B.A.
No, I said, okay, you got 15 seconds. So, I'm on the air. And he said,
Beth Ann, hold on. Beth Ann.
Yeah.
Let me just indulge Mike for a second.
Okay.
Do we?
Are you rethinking it a little bit?
Well, no, I just like your way of thinking. Do we not give you enough air time?
I don't want any air time.
Oh, you like being on the air? Come on, Beth Ann.
No.
Come on. You like radio. I mean, I'm not saying that as a put down. I love being on the air. Everybody here loves being on the air.
I really don't.
Okay.
I like listening.
Okay, anyway.
Mm-hmm. So
that's why you told him forget it.
Yeah, man, I'm tired. I don't want to, come on. I don't want to be part of anyone's bit right now.
Right. So that's why you told him, no, I'm not coming on the air.
But then I said, okay, because I've been in his position. Come on, it's okay, I'll do it. You got 15 seconds, what's up? Because I think we need to work this out. There's been a misunderstanding. I said, yeah,
I should let me just give all of our listeners a little background here of why this is relevant. Good. This is not just some stupid disc jockey in another city. This is a stupid disc jockey in another city who is the program director of our station in Bakersfield, who for whatever reason wants our show to continue into his show,
mm-hmm.
which follows our show.
Yeah.
What, Mike? Why are you looking at me in that
voice? No, I'm just saying these are interesting radio games.
That's true.
Well, I just think it's...
Reminds me of WAMU at American University.
College radio.
Come on, let's go on the other guy's show.
Well,
okay, yeah, right after I finish my beer.
Anyway, I don't think Beth Ann was drinking on Friday.
Oh, I've never seen Beth Ann drink.
No. So the disc jockey calls her. That's my background on this. He's not only a disc jockey, he's the program director of our station in Bakersfield, which incidentally, and I guess we take our share of the credit for this, the last time I checked, was not in the top 10.
Okay.
So
I'm sure if we have all this cross promotion between the shows, it'll definitely put the
powerhouse 1230 is not yet cracked the top 10 in Bakersfield.
Right.
Anyway, but we're hoping.
Yeah,
because I'm telling you, everybody's talking about a high definition radio and satellite radio. I'm telling you where it's all happening for us, man. On the AM band.
That's right.
Yeah. That's on the AM band.
I didn't know it was AM.
Of course it is.
We're going to turn that band around.
So anyway.
So this is the new show that you're on?
Yeah, it's the other show I'm on.
So the guy calls up. They call you. You're done with your work day.
Right.
Tell them the stuff that you told me about. You said, I've just got done working a 12-hour day.
12-hour day? Come on, boy, because I'm just really, can I just go home? Please leave me alone. Then I agree to go on. So I said, you got 15 seconds. Ooh, okay, what do you want? We really need to, there's been some misunderstanding. I said, yeah, you called me, you emailed me. What are you talking about? And he said, what you really need is a massage. And I'm like, what?
One of these guys. Now, how has this boy bothered you in the past, Beth Ann?
Well, he's never really bothered me till Friday when that person called and said he was talking about... Do you remember someone called, he was talking about me on the air?
How many times have you contacted him?
Well, I have contacted him about affiliate stuff that I have, but I've contacted other people about affiliate stuff.
Yeah, I'm just... give me a rough number.
Maybe... 4 times by phone, and maybe...
How many times in person? I mean, God.
Never.
How many emails have gone back and forth?
I don't know.
Put a number on it. How many zeros?
I don't think there's any zeros. Maybe 8?
7 or 8 emails.
Yeah.
Okay, so
is this the same kind of contact you have with all the other affiliates?
No.
A little more one-on-one?
Really?
You know, I talked to, there's a couple that I, because I looked at them because they've...
So you go on this guy's show and
Right, so I'm on there and he says, I need a massage.
You need a massage.
I want, all of a sudden I hear, wah, 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 wah. I go, I am being played by this guy. I go, listen, your 15 seconds is up. And I hung up.
Good for you.
So, they were goofing on you?
Yeah, that's what I felt like.
Well, then what would you like to say to him now on the show that I'm sure this guy's listening to? Come on, Beth, you can do it without being profane.
Leave me alone, Puck.
You came very close. You can say, leave me the blank alone. I know you don't like to curse. I know those words offend you. But you can say it.
Leave me the freak alone.
What have you learned from this experience?
What did I learn from it?
Yes, don't answer a question with a question.
I know, I do that all the time.
You are nuts. Lady, really.
Maybe just hang up on him?
Yeah, I hung up on him.
No, I mean, before he puts you on the air?
Should I have hung up on him before? Yeah, I shouldn't even have. I just should have hung up when I found out who it was.
But it was exciting.
No, it wasn't exciting.
Of course
no,
it was.
I feel like an obligation that it's an affiliate.
I think she's just too nice to tell these people to pound sand.
She was used and abused.
That's what I think.
But it's also kind of fun.
No, it's not fun. It's really, but I said, I've been on the air before. I'll help you out with your bit. What is it?
You think they're laughing at you and not laughing with you.
Yeah, there was no laughter on my end, so I figured if there was...
Did you think when you made the decision to go on this program that there might be laughter with you?
No.
You did not?
No, I just thought he wanted to clear it up.
Clear what?
Clear what? What are you talking about? Explain this lengthy relationship.
What are we clearing up?
The confusion.
What confusion,
Don? I don't know, Don, and I'm not calling to find out what it is.
Hold on. What, how can there be...
What confusion? We haven't been the recipients of 18 or 19 various forms of communication from this guy.
What are you confused about?
That's gone back and forth. You obviously know about this relationship.
Well, apparently, I guess he said, I call him and I email him and there's something special about our relationship and it's always been business. That's what we learned on Friday. And then Friday, I'm trying to go home after my long-ass day.
Yes, darling.
And I'm talking to Don, trying to get business done. And
yes, darling. Right.
Do you think there's a chance that maybe you've emailed him too many times?
You've encouraged him?
Maybe you've been... Even with his situation on Bakersfield?
I don't think I'm the one at fault here.
Have you sent him a photo?
No, I haven't sent him a photo. Go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com soon.
Would you have contacted him to such an extent that he might think that it's something more than business?
No!
Did you lead him on in that fetching way that you're leading both Mike and I on right now?
I don't lead anyone on.
Does he ask what Christmas sweater you're wearing?
And what one are you wearing today, Beth Ann?
The reindeer.
The reindeer one. Yeah.
Okay. The lovely reindeer.
Give it up for the reindeer.
Yay, reindeer. Go
all right,
reindeer.
All right, Beth Ann. Well, let's see.
I'm glad we could clear that up.
Maybe it'll be more fun the next time you go on another affiliate show.
Okay, whatever. Oh, and Paul Gorgie, the other married sales guy that you're interested in.
Did you hear what I said to him when he was walking down the hallway today?
Really, but I don't know. I didn't hear what you said.
Now he walked by the door and I went, handsome!
Strikingly handsome, according to Beth Ann McBride.
Well, that's why we don't like him.
Meanwhile, for you, it was another weekend with... was there a man in your world at all this weekend?
No.
Just possible.
Someday I'll tell you about a little secret person, but I can't right now.
You have a secret person?
Mm-hmm.
And they're little?
That's a dwarf?
Oh, but listen, no. If you're telling me, you know, that you've got something going, good.
It's just starting.
Oh, good. Okay, good for you.
Crank that up.
Good for you.
Okay.
What does he do here?
He's not here. He doesn't work here.
He doesn't work here.
Even better.
Is he local? Is he in the area?
No.
Oh, out of town.
Long distance.
Yeah. What's it going to be like, the made-up boyfriend?
Does his first name begin with a P and his last name end with a K? His first name end with a K?
The guy from Bakersfield.
Yes, I got it. Hello.
Or is this going to be like Star Jones? You know, I never believed that Star Jones was actually getting married until one day I saw in the newspaper a picture of the guy.
Sure.
I thought it was like some made-up thing that she's just going to go on TV and say there was someone that wanted to marry her.
It's like Eliza Minnelli marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You would think I'd have to do a made-up person?
No, not at all, Beth Ann.
Not that there'd be anything wrong with that.
No. So you have somebody that you, a long-distance relationship?
David Guest?
It's kind of a strange story.
Those are the best kind.
A lot of emails?
No.
Does he know?
I'm not going to tell you right now.
Does he know you?
Does he know
you? Or is it just that you know him?
Did you give him a picture and a paragraph?
Does he have both hands?
Huh?
Does he have two hands?
It's not Dennis. It's not Robert Mailman, is it?
Is he a letter carrier? Yeah, my next question.
Ah, Beth Ann.
All right, Beth Ann. Well, listen, when you want to come out of your shell a little bit more and tell us more about whoever this mystery guy is that you've got on the side, your gigolo, let us know.
But I will tell you this, Beth Ann.
What?
As soon as that fake hip heals, he's going to be one hell of a lover.
That's right. That's right. It'll be two guys. The one with one hand. Maybe three. You count the guy out in California.
Good to play the field.
Pursuing the queen of Bakersfield.
Tom and Dennis. Tom and Dennis and some washed-up disc jockey named Tom. Can you imagine that? Oh, goddamn. Okay, goodbye, Beth Ann.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Good luck.
There she is. She's one messed up girl, and we didn't even talk to Joe about him getting engaged.
No. Yeah, that's incredible.
We've got a break.
Did anyone know about that before he said that?
He announced it at the top of the best of show before ours.
Of course, he saved it for his show.
Yeah.
That's right. It's Arden's, you're here.
Everybody's got to have their outlet, Rob.
Yes, I suppose.
Joe's got his best of.
Joe.
Beth Ann has Bakersfield.
And I have my cabaret act.
Don't
sell yourself short. You have FedEx Field, my friend.
We'll be back, and I hope to get my brother on with the train as well, so stay right there.
This is the Don and Mike Show. I'm Anita Horgar.
Buck melanoma. Molly Russell's wart. Not her wart. Not her wart. I'm the wart. She's my tumor. My growth. My pimple. I'm Uncle Wart. Just old Buck Wart Russell. That's what they call me. Or melanoma head. They'll call me that. Melanoma head's coming. Uncle. Maisie Russell's uncle. I'm her uncle.
The Don and Mike Show. Yeah.
Pleased to be enjoying the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, pleased to be. Remembering that Friday, oh, what a great NFL weekend that was. On Friday already, we'll be talking about the next NFL week with Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. Rich is sponsored by Tower Records and Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love. And watch Rich's show every night at 7 and 10 on the NFL Network. Right, there's the red on one show on a Monday. Got to read it. How many more times?
100 more times before Wednesday.
100 more times. Got to read that on today's show. Okay, quickly from the weekend, I go to the car wash because I'm feeling better yesterday.
So the car wash where there was controversy earlier in the year.
Yes, where 2 weeks ago, in front of me, a girl jumped out of the car and I was inside the car wash
right.
for like 15 extra minutes
because the train was coming.
So I mentioned it. Mike, this is nothing like my brother's
different story.
Okay.
All right, that's a different story.
I mentioned it on the air. It was funny. The girl actually called the office, and it turns out she never called the request line to get on the air. So I go into this car wash, same car wash on Route 7. I won't say the name of it because there's a million of them. And I'm waiting to pay, and the slacker behind the counter says, "Hey, dude." I say, "Hello." And he says, "When you talked about that girl getting caught in the car wash, like all week people were coming in and asking us if this was the car wash." And I said, "Great, glad it worked out for you." And then here's where it pays off to have a radio show.
Oh, yeah.
He said to me, "We want to thank you." So the manager comes out. The manager came out, shook my hand. And gave me a bunch of $1 tickets.
Oh, that's
you
great.
You know those things you get when you go every time to a car wash place, and they give you that worthless ticket.
That's a dollar off the next one?
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He gave me five of those.
Five of those.
That's gave me
great.
Five of those.
$5 off your $14 car wash.
And I said, because we were standing right there, I said, "Oh, that's very nice of you." I said, "Here, apply them here." And he says, "No, got to be redeemed on your next trip here."
Yeah.
No. So, hey, let me just say thank you.
How to be redeemed on your next trip.
Thank you. Well, it'll be next Sunday.
You're a pretty good regular customer, though.
I'll be there next week. I had no idea that they even knew, you know, who I was, and I didn't
know.
Did
you get any more skinny on the girl and what the deal was?
The guy said to me, the guy behind the counter, the freak, said that indeed they had been having a fight about something that she found out that he told her while they were driving through the car wash, and he told her because he thought that was the one place that she wouldn't
wig out.
Right,
no place is safe.
And the scuttlebutt around the car wash is the reason that the girl jumped out of the car, is that the guy told her that he has impregnated someone who is very close to her.
Yeah, never do that in an enclosed space.
No, I mean, they can get you in that car wash.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to wait until the girl calls it herself. But the guy at the car wash told me that the guy who the boyfriend impregnated was the girl's mom. So how great is that?
And my God.
And that's why the girl flipped out and jumped out of the car wash and was just screaming and yelling 2 weeks ago. And anyway,
did the license plate say Federline on it?
Anyway, they got some pub out of that. So good for them. And I got five fantastic tickets.
Thank them for their generosity.
Congratulations on those tickets.
Right. That's why I'm not mentioning the name of the place
right.
on the show. I mean, I didn't mention it in the first place, right. But I mean, you're going to hook me up with like five of those free $1 things?
Only if you come in the next time.
Yeah. Redeemable next time.
Before the expiration date.
You can't use them today, sir. But thank you.
My brother is what? Not going to pick up the phone again? Oh, this train thing. I want him so much to tell you.
Where's Choo Choo Jimmy?
Buried in paperwork, no doubt.
We're going to get that dynamic machine again? Hello?
What the hell is that?
If he turned his phone off.
I don't know.
Oh.
What?
Maybe the
Well, I was calling his cell, though. I don't think. Well, either way.
Yeah. It's really old cell phone.
It's Wisconsin.
Full of messages from the railroad.
All right, I'll call back here.
This is Albie Richardson of the Norfolk and Southern Railroad.
I can't get you on the phone, so get your butt in here, please.
I'm all giddy with my impending matrimony.
The news is that the world's oldest phone screener, Joe Ardinger, is engaged.
In an announcement heard earlier today on WJFK.
During our best of 2 to 3 hour. Hello, Joe, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, you got his music, Robbie? The Joe Show music?
Okay.
Of course. The music that says
Joe.
And Joe, how long have you known Tracy, your girlfriend? We all know her, but tell everybody, how long have you known her?
I've known her for 20 years.
Wow. Oh, 20 years. So you guys knew each other before you started dating?
Mm-hmm.
So you were buddies, maybe, before you started dating?
Yeah, in a word.
Like friends?
Yeah, a little better than friends.
Oh, really? So kind of an on-and-off thing over 20 years?
Right.
Was she your old...
I didn't know you knew her that long.
Was she your old regular?
I know not what you speak of.
Well, I'm saying that...
Oh, no.
You had a relationship with her for 20 years where it was friendship and maybe a little bit more. What I'm saying is, on those nights when Daddy had an itch that needed to be scratched.
No.
Would she be the recipient of the booty call? Yes, that's right. Thank you, Mike.
Never anything like that. It's just lives going in two different directions and meeting up again.
I didn't know you guys knew each other for that long. That's very cool. So tell us about the proposal.
Tell us everything.
Yeah. We want to know, Joe.
You big romantic fan.
Because, I mean, you scooped the story on the, well, it's technically our show, but really we all know it's the Joe Show that's on an hour before this
one. 2 to 3.
And you scooped us on that, so at least you can give us the details.
Well, we knew we were getting the ring. The ring had been ordered and everything.
Okay, so the element of surprises is, well, you can still do the surprise, right?
Yeah, well, I think she was surprised in that I got down on my knee and proposed to her.
Oh, okay.
The ring, you know.
Now, hold on. Tell us about this. So now you've got the ring. You're down on one knee in front of your...
Where are you down on one knee?
In the backyard.
All right.
It was a beautiful weekend.
Yeah. The Starry, Starry Night, as Don McLean once sang. So anyway...
We heard backyard. We were all talking about this, and we mentioned backyard before.
You're on one knee, right. And what do you say?
I said, Teresa Elizabeth Harris, will you marry me? You love that, don't you?
No, I love your delivery. It's not what you're saying.
It's just the whole thing with the backyard. You know,
it was a nice day.
It's Joe. It's great.
It's Joe.
Beautiful pastoral. When you did this in the backyard.
You did the soap opera thing where you used her entire name, you know. And Robbie, hold on. Were you on mic too?
Did you ask her father for her hand?
No.
Any chance he'll be flipped out?
No.
So what did she say, Joe?
She said yes.
Oh, congratulations.
Joe.
Congratulations.
Joe is off the market.
Diamonds make those girls crazy, though, don't they? She was all excited.
They do like them.
So when...
Did you oil up a little bit before you did it? Did you have a toddy or two?
Saturday afternoon.
So how many... just roughly estimate how many beers you would have consumed prior to the proposal.
Oh, just a couple. Early in the day.
That's better. That's just a couple.
It was early in the day.
So do you have a date?
Yeah, we're looking at May 28th. It's a Saturday.
May 28th.
It really doesn't 28th. Work for me.
Save the day.
We don't think we're going to invite too many people because we're kind of, you know, it's...
Are you going to be naked and have like a flower child wedding?
Sure, Don.
Are you going to kind of do a justice of the peace thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're not going to have a big ceremony?
This is terribly religious.
Going to be like John and Yoko? Be naked in bed, or how about drape yourself in the flag?
No.
Something like that. Make a statement.
John and Yoko got married in Gibraltar.
That's right.
By a justice of the peace.
Gibraltar. It is odd, isn't it?
So this really puts an element of urgency into you finding that suit.
Yeah, it does.
We found the suit. Now it just has to make its way up to the cleaners.
Ah. So it's going to be a small ceremony, just a couple of friends, and nothing fancy.
Right.
Just kind of get it done.
Yeah.
And you know,
save the money for some sort of decent honeymoon, you know.
You're getting married because?
Because I love her.
Yay.
We love each other.
That's good. And you've known each other for 20 years. How many years have you guys been, like, on? How many, boyfriend and girlfriend? How long has that been?
2 years now.
2 years.
Mm-hmm. Just going to write Joe a note.
the excitement is palpable.
It is so exciting.
You didn't sign anything, did you?
No.
Okay. That's good.
Okay. Is she going to slip
kind
the
of
art?
Sloppy, but can you... Can you get out? I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Toys R Us writing what I'm writing there, but you see that?
Yeah.
My sophisticated spy writing.
Okay. Spy writing.
Right.
Secret.
Can you translate that? What does that say?
It says, are you sure?
And this is the first trip down the aisle for you.
Yeah.
And for her?
Second.
Oh.
Okay, Joe. So, Joe, listen, I know you said that you don't have to get married.
Right.
Have you thought about having children?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
All right. Good.
Now we're going somewhere.
Good heavens, no.
Yes.
Oh, my.
The responsibility of parenthood will do him good.
Yes. All right, Joe. Well, I guess on behalf of everybody, we say congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations,
Joe. Already heard about it, too, because it's a level of commitment I've never bestowed on anybody before.
And you, I would think that it's probably got to be the sure thing if you're going to do that.
There he is, Joe Artinger.
Yeah, he's been googly in love with this girl from the beginning.
Well, for years. Really. Yes, he has.
I mean, he's always talking things about it. Remember when he changed? Remember when he came in and he started dating Tracy, and then it was a new Joe. Mm-hmm. Joe changed when he did that, and it was a change that I noticed.
I don't recall this.
Well, no, his work ethic has maintained itself. You know, but I mean, he changed as far as like kind of being a wild man and going out and, you know, running around.
Really? I always found Joe really, really low maintenance. Yeah, I mean that as a compliment. Yeah. What I mean is,
no. Prior to Tracy, I used to go out with Joe a couple of times and fire him on the weekend.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
those were the days. Joe and I ran a little bit, you know, a couple of times.
What, one time you went fishing, right?
No, we went fishing and we went out one night in D.C.
There was a car involved.
Isn't that the night you fired him?
Twice. Three or four times. Four or five times I fired him.
The fifth time.
And then we went fishing. We could still go fishing.
Yeah, we could still do that. Yeah.
He'd still fish.
Yeah. You and Tracy have a song?
Yeah, we do, actually.
What is it, Joe?
It's Be Mine by David Gray.
Got anything anybody else would have heard of?
It was a hit on the radio a couple of years ago.
David Gray's pretty good.
I would say he's probably a one-hit wonder at this point.
Oh, hold on, maybe this is my brother calling. Give me a second. Hi, hello?
Hi, this is Howard Braunstein. I was calling...
Hold on, Howard. That's our 110 interview.
How good. Well, I think I speak for everyone when I look forward to it.
We're running a little late for that today.
I'm sure that if he had heard Joe's news, he would have offered congratulations.
We had to take pause and congratulate our phone screener on his impending nuptials.
Thank you, Joe.
Well, thank you.
And thank you for sharing that with us. And best of luck to you and Tracy.
Yeah, and congratulate Tracy for me.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
She's probably listening, so I love you, baby.
There you go. That's what we like hearing. And Joe, you brought this up. Where is area code 540 where this fax came from?
That's West Virginia.
No, not West Virginia, but Deep Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we just got
it. Virginia.
You know, a lot of people don't, we'll have some type of email thing on donandmikewebsite.com, but a lot of people still use our fax machine.
Of course.
800-636-6410. So we got this from the Valley Trader, I guess it's a phone book. No, I take that back. Okay. It's like the free thing you get at your grocery store.
Penny Saver.
Yeah, Penny Saver.
Ah, I like that.
So anyway, it says, German Shepherd pups purchased at 6 weeks old. Not good with Jewish children.
Oh, my God.
You know, we really have to try to call it and see if we can get somebody at this thing.
There's a congratulatory call for Joe on line 444.
Oh, all right, hold on. Hello, this is for Joe Artinger. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Who is this?
This is Ross Valerie of Journey calling.
Hey, Ross.
Hey.
What's going on, boy?
How are you?
Wow.
Well, you know, I just got to wish Joe all the best.
Yeah.
Well, how about that, Joe?
Thanks, Ross.
Thanks, Ross.
You're a rock idol calling in to...
Haven't you called Ross Valerie a few times, Joe?
I may have called him over the weekend.
Really?
Oh, he has called me. And the funny thing about it, guys, is when he calls me, and I never mind, sometimes he leaves messages, sometimes he catches me, but he calls when he's feeling very happy.
That's right. He gives Ross...
And it's a little more than just a couple, too. It's like, hello, Ross.
It is a Jordan shirt. How are you, buddy? I want you to check out JoeArtizer.com. You know,
oh, God.
With the W's in front, you know what I mean?
I find it hard to believe you have anything in common with this gentleman.
Yeah. He's always happy when he calls, and it's so nice. It's so friendly. You can't turn the guy down. You guys find wonderful people to work with, you know.
Well, he's a big fan of yours, Ross. He really is, and you know, that's why he calls you when he gets drunk.
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's always acceptable. So how are you, Joe?
Fine, Ross. And you guys got some news, I noticed. I read about you guys got some big news coming up in January.
That's right. You told me about. I understand you guys are going to be at the Star in Hollywood.
Yeah, we're Journey's getting
a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Wow, way to go, Ross.
Congratulations. We're being inducted. Yeah, sometime early next year, we're going to go down there, maybe coordinate it with the NAMM convention, the big musical instrument convention that happens at that time.
Well, congratulations on that, Ross. And, Joe, you should honeymoon at Ross's house.
That's right. I'll just tell my wife. You know this guy, Joe? He's coming over. you love his new wife.
Look at that.
Partner.
Well, good heavens! Look at the clock. We got a break.
Hey, okay, you know what, you guys? You have
all right, Ross.
One, and I'll talk to you soon. And next time I roll through town, you guys are not going to be in France or on vacation. You're coming to the show.
Amen. All right.
Absolutely. Let us know the date.
Absolutely. Set up factory.
Thanks, Ross.
Bye-bye.
This is Ross Valerie of Journey calling in to congratulate
my
Joe Artinger.
Star friend.
Kind of a frightening moment there, wasn't it, when it was just Joe and Ross off on their own little riff there? It was.
Do you call him when you get bombed?
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily have to be bombed, but I call him every month or so.
Just happens to be.
Doing.
That's cool.
It is cool. It's my rock star friend.
Hey, Rob, so you know what? There may be
toured
one
the world
number.
And he sold
you can read that from that
and
ad.
And he called you.
Penny
yeah.
Saver.
Yeah, he called back.
Yeah.
The guy, I mean, he was listening to the show out there in Sacramento and called Joe.
From one of your favorite rock bands, Journey.
Sure.
Will you play a Journey song at your reception?
Oh, geez. There's probably a good handful of them that are played at any wedding.
I'll take it open arms.
Open arms. Yeah. Lock that
I'll
in.
I'll take it open arms.
Open arms. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you don't want, what's that one? You don't want like desperate, different worlds? You don't want that one.
No, bad choice.
You don't want and you don't want love and touching and squeezing. I know it's not squeezing, but I know it's loving.
Loving, touching, squeezing.
And that one had the end that was, you're a disc jockey, just drive you nuts. The na, 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 na. You had to play it like 10 times. Until you're trying to figure it out. Robbie, what do you got from the German Shepherd front?
A very uptight lady who informed me that it was a practical joke played against her, and she never had any puppies.
Ooh, oh,
wow.
That's nasty.
Why? Okay.
What an evil practical
what
joke.
What kind of person would take out a false classified
ad? I don't know what type would rather.
Okay. But, Joker, Joker, Joker.
That comes from a news or a Penny Saver. Where, Joe? Where's area code 540?
Deep in the heart of Virginia.
Yeah, we got it. In Virginia.
All right.
I'm shocked.
I don't want to say who would have that area code.
Congratulations, Otto.
Thank you.
We couldn't be happier. Oh, what?
I was sitting over here like minding my own business, and you guys are going, where's 540?
Michael Mara. I know your phone number.
Yes, you do, silly.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everyone, take down those Halloween decorations. It's officially time to get into the spirit of the holiday season.
So buy some bright flashing lights to decorate your home. Spray some fake snow on your windows. And get some OnStar personal calling minutes so you can wish your family a happy holiday no matter where you're headed.
OnStar personal calling is a hands-free phone that's built into your OnStar-equipped vehicle.
Plus, now OnStar offers two ways to pay for your service. As always, you can buy prepaid minutes, but now they offer the new America's Choice plan with OnStar.
It's so easy to use. When you want to make a call, you can just call out what says here, a pre-programmed name tag, like call home and call the office.
Very cool. You can add your built-in OnStar hands-free phone to your existing Verizon service package.
Joe would just say, call my fiance, Teresa.
And make sure it's in the backyard.
Of course. In addition to OnStar personal calling, OnStar also gives you the security of driving safe. To get in a collision, OnStar will make sure you're okay. For information, please go to OnStar.
TheDonAndMikeShow.com.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Joe.
Investigate what?
They're calling you a bigamist. They found out you weren't divorced from your second wife when you married Myra here.
You mean we ain't married?
I never was married to my second wife in the first place. I already told you I didn't need to get a divorce.
The government is trying to deport you. We're washed up here, kids. We're getting out.
Well, what if I don't want to go?
Well, why would you want to stay?
Joe.
I promised Myra I'd buy her a wedding ring.
What do I need a ring for?
Joe.
Even married.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mungoos.
And, yeah.
Half of light and half of dark. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Still not heard from my brother about the train wreck. We still have not talked about the Dallas reunion show last night.
Oh, sad.
My big fat obnoxious boss. We didn't talk about Letterman on Regis today.
Wow.
And just be advised, tonight, it's Jerry on Larry.
Jerry's on Larry tonight?
Yeah. And
man, it's such a good TV night tonight.
We'll be rolling tape tomorrow.
Good.
So we'll have the complete Jerry on Larry recap.
Because tonight is the CSI Miami.
Gotcha.
They see the tidal wave.
Oh, no.
I personally have been looking forward to that.
And David Caruso, some of us are excited about Monday Night Football.
That is not the horizon. They sometimes tease shows in a way that just hits me, and that's what...
It's not
that
a crime
scene. Is not the horizon.
Oh, hold on. Howard is on the phone. Howard Braunstein from CBS. Howard?
Hello.
Hi, thank you. Thank you.
How are you, Howard?
Well, I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Now, Howard, as you heard, called a couple of seconds ago. Howard is a CBS producer,
mm-hmm.
and CBS, our network,
yeah.
our company, all hail, yes, CBS.
Yay, rah, rah.
As Jim Nance, the hyperactive poodle,
Jim Nance,
said yesterday, like, as blood was coming out of his ear and nose, here on CBS, America's most watched network.
Jim gets excited about that.
CBS announces an open casting call to find the next Elvis. They're going to finally make the miniseries Elvis.
Ah.
And here now is Howard, who's going to tell us about the casting call.
Oh, wonderful. I'd like to know the details, Howard.
Well, the details are this Wednesday between 10 and 4 at CBS in Television City in Hollywood. We're going to have an open call. Anyone can go down. Anyone can audition. And we're going to, CBS will be there, the director, the casting director, the whole crew will be there looking for the definitive Elvis.
Now, I would ask you, when you're going to be casting for this miniseries, are you going to have one guy through all the phases of Elvis, or will you be perhaps looking for maybe two or even three people to play Elvis at...
Four.
Yes.
We're going to have, it's actually one guy. It starts sort of around 18 years old, and he goes till he was 33. The movie ends with the 1968
comeback. Oh, now that's just not
that
fun.
That will never do. That will never do. You're not going to have the best Elvis part.
We're not going to have his last 10 years, babe.
See, I think if you're going to do his last 10 years, you might want to make it on, like an HBO or something.
No, you could get away with his last 10 years on...
But if you really wanted to make it
on CBS. Yeah. But, think
make
about
it. Make it R-rated.
So we'll probably have one actor, probably in his mid-20s, so we can play younger and older.
That's too bad. I was thinking John Goodman.
Yeah.
He'd be a good Elvis.
That's one way to go.
Well, once this gets out, and obviously you're publicizing it, this is going to be... I mean, it's going to be a scene. You might as well get helicopter shots out there.
Because
I mean, it's going to be like something out of a movie. You're going to see all the Elvis impersonators.
But to say, no phone calls, please. No. Ask me this.
Reality show on the casting.
For more information, please go to CBS.com. No phone calls. Now, Howard, one of the things that we were told is that whoever shows up for the casting of this Elvis thing, and we're big Elvis fans. Let me rephrase that. We are fans of the career of Elvis.
Yes.
especially the last 10 years. But for this thing, whoever you hire, is this true or false? I read that you have to be able to sing any Elvis song that you mention. Did you say that?
No, that's not true.
Oh, and that's not
you,
true.
You have to be able to capture the essence of Elvis. But that's obviously, what we're trying
obviously you're going to want somebody who's got the look, I
Rob,
would assume, and somebody who also can sing, right?
Step up. Yes. I'm going to try this anyway because Rob is ready. Howard,
Howard.
We read in the prep.
Hello.
We read in the prep that one of the things that you were going to do was say to somebody, here's the name of an Elvis song, sing it. Here's the name of an Elvis song, sing it. See if you can stump our boy Rob A., who is really the biggest Elvis fan we have among us.
Should I start easy?
Sure.
Sure, start easy and then get tougher.
Hound Dog.
Please.
Okay, let's move on. He knows that.
You won't even...
Hound Dog.
Las Vegas.
Okay. Now, Rob, I think you have to commit if you're going to do this.
Did you say Viva Las Vegas?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. Bright Light City, gonna set my soul. We're gonna set my soul on fire.
Okay, you got that. Next one.
I'm stumped. That was so good.
You're hired, Rob. Great, I'm Elvis.
But Rob would have to be the last 10-year Elvis.
I'll wait for the second miniseries.
Suspicious Minds.
We can go on together with Suspicious Minds.
But see, now these are easy. Howard, give him some tough ones.
I tried one. If I Can Dream.
Oh, If I Can Dream.
If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why.
That is a tough one. Can you stump him on anything else, Howard?
I'm not even going to try anymore. I pulled a couple out of the hat.
Rob, if you were trying to stump Howard, what song would you
play? I would go with Such an Easy Question.
Mm-hmm. That's a song?
Yeah, it is a song.
Ah, Such an Easy Question. Do you know that one, Howard?
I do not.
Why can't I get an answer? That is a flip side, I think.
A B side.
But it's Howard, in my jukebox.
Mm-hmm. Howard, I don't know where you're at with this, but have you thought about the casting of Elvis, George Eads? He was great as Evel Knievel.
Well, you've seen him in the jumpsuit, so he's got that on his resume. He'd be fantastic.
So let's see. Oh, I'm supposed to also mention there's no parking in the CBS lot. Television City. I'm not kidding about this.
Well, we've been in that lot.
There's parking available at the Grove and on the street near the lot. That's in Los Angeles at Television City this Wednesday, from 10 till 4 Los Angeles time.
I'm thinking of a great Elvis. Is Norm MacDonald working currently?
Now, hold on. Tell me if you've heard of this guy. Howard, this is a guy that we met through our show. His name is, simply the King.
The King.
Now, do you recognize the music, Howard?
I do not.
Are you familiar with Nirvana?
Yes.
Okay, listen up. Here we go.
Come as you are. As a friend, as I want you to be.
That's good, huh?
That's pretty good, Elvis.
Yeah, very good.
See, he's singing contemporary music, or relatively contemporary.
But he has the voice.
Yes, right, absolutely.
Howard, see if you can name this song that our Elvis guy, the King, is redoing. Any idea what this song is, Howard?
I do, and if you told me, I'd say, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's Sweet Home Alabama.
Sweet Home Alabama.
And who's that by, Howard?
You'll tell me.
That's right. The Carpenters. You got that right.
Doesn't this guy sound
like Elvis?
He does. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And now a guy that really looks like Elvis, doesn't necessarily sound like him. He works at NBC4. His name is George Michael. We have a tape of him as well.
Is this going to end up on Geronimo's Air?
Oh, yeah. George Michael's Sports Machine.
Right.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Just crying all the time.
Now, he's not as good. He doesn't sound like the other guy, but he's got the
look.
But
he's young enough to play.
And then we got one more for you. This guy's name is Ilert Pilarm.
Oh. Is this the Swedish Elvis?
Yes, he's the number one Swedish Elvis impersonator.
And I have to hear this.
This may be the best Elvis impersonation you've ever heard.
Won't throw a pod in the car door yet. The policemen were beginning to well. Time for the young dude began to swing. Move to the heart, so yellow, but it's left rock.
Yeah, he learned.
Left rock.
See, he's got the rhythm.
Oh my goodness, that's hysterical.
So as perhaps
you have to understand, Howard, Elvis has been a part of our show for a very long time.
Here's another guy. I want an honest opinion on this guy's talent.
Right? Yeah, John, you were a sweetheart. Or were a couple in love. Or they could be true to each other. Or just as true as the stars above. He was her man.
Now that is Brian Wilson.
He's had so much talent.
We had the show.
That's a whole different way to go.
Just last week. All right, Howard, good luck.
Thank you very much.
When is the date again, Howard, for the open casting call?
This Wednesday.
Wow. This Wednesday.
From 10 to 4.
All of you Elvis people across the country, get out to Los Angeles for the big audition.
All right, thank you, Howard.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Bye, Howard.
Bye. There he goes. Howard Bronstein from CBS, and this is more Elert Pilar. A fool such as I.
He's great.
Kill him. How can you possibly do an Elvis show and cut it off at 33?
Yeah.
That's just when it gets good.
That's right.
But that's, I do just, believe, really, that's just when he gets purple.
I really think if you really wanted to do Elvis the later, you know, I think it's a Showtime movie.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. I think it's a series.
A Showtime series.
I absolutely do.
Elvis, yep. The Last Years.
But yeah. Here's the thing.
Oh, it's a good
you'd
idea.
Have to, you'd have to, you know, now that I think about it, you're right. If we really wanted it to be the true Elvis story that we know.
In the last years, like with all of the biological issues that he had,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't put that on regular TV.
No, you could.
And not make it good.
You can put it on Playboy.
Yeah, you can put it on Playboy. Yeah, well, you can put it on regular cable. HBO, Showtime. You can put it on.
I don't know.
You could put it on Playboy, and some guys would be able to.
No.
That's bad.
No. I know, but I'm saying.
Well, there's just certain, you know, with the killing of the babies, you couldn't put that on HBO.
Yeah.
No, you could. I was thinking more about Elvis's problems controlling himself after a good meal.
I think of the exact, like in the last days when he was like wrapped up in a bedsheet as a diaper.
Well, really, he would enjoy a good meal of 30 or 40 hamburgers or peaches and then
completely lose control of himself.
Not be able to get up and go to the loo.
Or when he was laying in bed.
Elvis couldn't visit the loo.
No.
Maybe that would be the title of the miniseries, too. Elvis couldn't go to the loo.
Elvis in bed with Crowder peas and mashed potatoes.
Can't make it to the loo.
Hey, Jack, I got to go to the loo so bad. I got to go to the goddamn loo.
Let me tell you something, son.
Jack.
Maids, Jack, help me to the loo.
I got
to
go to the loo.
Got to get to the privy.
That was a good meal I had.
Red, I'm not getting out of bed and I will not be going to the loo.
If only I could have seen. What was in the loo? In the loo, I crack my head and choke on my own vomit in the loo.
If I try to get up and go to the loo, I might step on a peach pit, Jack.
Oh, Jack. Loo.
I'm going there, my boy.
I feel
my loo.
Someday I think I will pass away in the loo. I have passed, regretfully, I have passed in the loo.
Face down in the shag carpeting in the loo.
My face is all discolored from being face down in the loo.
All right, bollocks.
Oh, Elvis.
When we come back, Nancy Yodel will be on the show.
Good.
And my goddamn brother, this thing with the train. I'm dying for you to hear this. Don't be worried. I'm sure he's just taking the day off work. Anyway, we'll get to all this when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And now the guys from Not Just News talking to Senator John McCain.
Very good.
And yes, it's our favorite guy.
It's a booah guy.
And again, that's the same first question he asked Al Franken.
Right.
Okay, I'll let it roll this time.
One more time. Yes, indeed. You're exactly right. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Great to see you.
That's just the guy screaming at that, John McCain.
They can ruin a perfectly good quiet. Don and Mike.
Hey, and guess who? As we called during the break.
Did he?
Yeah, old green teeth.
Oh, good.
Kick him right in the knee.
So, Jesus Jones.
Oh, man.
We'll have my brother on here in a second, but joining us now from Access Hollywood. That's tonight here in D.C. on NBC4 at 7:30 around the country. check your local listings, please. Here is Nancy O'Dell. Nancy, how have you been?
How have you been?
How have you been? Are you back in Los Angeles now?
I am finally back in Los Angeles, but I'm sure it's only for 5 minutes.
You are busy, busy, busy.
Oh, my gosh. I have been to Pittsburgh, Salt Lake City, Boston, New York City, Atlantic City. Did I say that? No. How many other cities can I go to?
What entertainment is there?
Coming to a city near you.
Why would Access Hollywood go to? What could there possibly be in the entertainment business, in the Hollywood business in Salt Lake City?
Diana Ross. Her first exclusive sit-down in a long time since the whole debacle of, getting pulled over for driving under the influence, alleged, I guess.
When do you get any downtime, seriously?
Not a lot of downtime. Not especially lately. It's just been crazy. I mean, we just keep getting these different exclusive interviews at different places, and they just keep flying us all over. And then with the election coverage, even though it was politics, there was a lot of Hollywood involved. So we're covering that all over the place.
You have energy always. I mean, do you drink? I mean, do you drink copious amounts of coffee?
I take some good vitamins.
Good vitamins? You're not like a Red Bullaholic, are you?
So they're coffee shots, I think, is
coffee
what they
shots.
Are.
Okay.
I just have very, very strong black coffee.
Mm-hmm. On your show tonight, I don't even have we didn't even get the email today. I don't know. Are you going to talk about the picture of Tara Reid? Is that even going to enter into
you? What's so funny? Tonight in the show, you got to see this. We show it to Colin Farrell. We were interviewing him for Alexander, so he was talking about this huge, Raw love scene that he has with Rosario Dawson. And they were to go, speaking of Raw, Billy Bush hands him the picture of Tara Reid.
Oh,
and
very cool.
Billy, actually, this is how we get all these exclusive interviews. You see, we just promise things at the end of the interview. Billy's like, I have a picture of Tara Reid, topless, and I'll show it to you after the interview.
Now let me just show Mike and anybody in the room who hasn't seen it. This was at P. Diddy's party over the weekend. Have you seen the picture, Mike?
That's where she was getting it. She had the photo up, and she didn't know that her top had come down.
Yeah, and...
Or
malfunction.
Or did she? I mean, it looked to me... I saw the videotape where it was pixelated out, and it looked to me like maybe she was really just caught up in the moment.
I've got a lot of stuff on this that I'm sure Nancy doesn't need to hear, like the many plastic surgeons who are now coming out and saying, well, not only is this a breast job, this is a bad breast job.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. I know you don't want to get into that area. But it's good news to know that you will be discussing the picture of Tara Reid tonight on Access Hollywood.
It is discussed, yes, somewhat, along with the violent love scene in Alexander. We get Colin's reaction to that. It's actually really interesting to hear how they went about filming it. And Rosario gave him a black eye while doing it.
Oh, really?
Nancy, there was a lot of talk about the gay undertones of Alexander. I mean, beyond Colin Farrell liking to walk around, without his clothes on, which I guess was part of the script. And now, this is the Oliver Stone movie, right?
Right.
All right, so this is the one I'm talking about, that he was worried that there were these gay overtones, that Colin Farrell said, hey, what's the deal with the guy? I bet you didn't want to talk about this, did you?
Well, you know what? I can defer it because Billy did the interview with Colin.
Well, does Billy get into that with Colin at all? I mean, I know it's really not Access Hollywood style to say, boy, the movie's supposed to be so freaking
Well, what is
gay.
It because Alexander the Great? I mean, what?
Did it, but there's controversy, that has been in the press, and we'll usually ask the people about it. It's not on tonight's piece, but we have several pieces throughout the week of Alexander, so we may touch on it throughout the week. But there's a lot of other good juicy tidbits that are on the show tonight. It's actually really interesting because Lindsay Lohan comes out. I don't know if you heard about reports about her estranged father's comments that he made to Us Weekly.
No, what did he say?
That he had heard rumors that Lindsay was hospitalized because of abusive drugs and alcohol, and so she has some pretty firm words that she says that we reveal tonight on the show back to her dad. And then Jane Carter, who is the mom of Aaron Carter.
Hold on, if I could just stop you for a second. What is up with all of these girls who have their dads?
It's really strange, these ones in the biz, and they have so many estranged dads, and it does seem like there's a lot of them out there, huh?
No matter what the circumstances, it does strike me as kind of a low-life move for any father to come out, and talk to the press about the daughter, whether he's been in her life or not. I think that's a little ridiculous.
The comment that she makes, which is on tonight's show, is reflective of that.
Oh, okay, I look forward to it.
It is. I mean, it's good that you pick up on that. It's actually very reflective. So it's interesting what she has to say.
Give us one more thing you have tonight on Accent Hollywood.
We also have the mom of Aaron Carter. She, Jane Carter, is on the show, and you go, what are you talking to her about? But actually, it's really interesting. She talks about the time that he spent at Neverland Ranch.
One night.
Didn't come back, and how worried she was, and what actually happened, and what she claims that Michael gave Aaron. Very interesting. And the claim that his sister makes is unbelievable.
Wow. That's worth watching right there.
Watch it tonight. Oh, and you guys are into sweeps now, so you're going to have all the worst stuff. All the best stuff.
The good stuff.
You know what I mean, Anthony? All the good stuff all the time. I know you do.
It's even more so. We have like a billion My Crushes during Sweeps Week.
Oh.
Billion. We get to go interview people we had crushes on when we were little ones.
Oh, really? So we get to see. So you have to go like to Middle America and see some schmuck who.
Celebrity crushes.
Oh,
like, for example, crush. I'll give you one of mine was Rick Springfield. Don't tell anybody.
See, I thought you'd say, I thought you'd go, like, back in your life and find some guy in high school that wanted to date you.
That would be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Like, you go back to your old hometown and sit at the diner and go, hey, schmuck, you don't think you really had a chance with me?
I don't think that would work.
No,
that would be kind of fun.
So
the funniest part is looking at Billy's childhood pictures, I think.
Oh, I can imagine.
And who is Billy's Billy's celebrity crush? Is that what this thing is?
He had several. One was with Cheryl Teagues. One was Raquel Welch. All of them will be revealed during our Crush Week.
Oh, I could always watch. Even at this stage, I can watch an interview with Raquel Welch any day.
She looks great, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm. All right. Listen, Nancy, thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I will look forward to it.
Okay, bye, honey.
Until then, hope you have been well.
We have been well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate the fact you're on a hard line today.
I know, it's rare.
We do. No, it helps.
I have to travel with cell phone.
I know, but we like you when it's hard. When it's hard, it's good. I mean, you know what I mean.
I will not comment.
I know. I didn't mean that.
Bye, Nancy.
Bye.
Come on, I didn't even mean that, for goodness sakes.
No, you didn't mean that.
You didn't mean it. Bye, honey. Everyone.
His sexual fantasies, where I believe Cheryl Teague.
Now I finally got my TiVo up and running. I can appreciate these interviews a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. She's good on that show.
Stunning. Yeah.
She is. And Billy Bush was Cheryl Teague.
Yeah.
Cheryl Teague's Raquel Welch.
And Lee Majors. That was his third.
Absolutely.
Wow. That was it. All right. So here's the picture of Tara Reid that everybody's seen on the internet, and what the plastic surgeons say.
I'm still getting by Lee Majors.
I'm Billy Bush. Tonight I'll interview one of my high school crushes, Lee Majors.
The Fall Guy.
Man, I loved you on The Fall Guy. I hated those chicks, though.
The deal with Tara Reid is that the plastic surgeons who have looked at this, and remember, we don't do the show that we used to. I'll be very clinical about this so they don't delete it out. The doctors say that her breast job is through the nipple.
Uh-huh.
And
obviously,
as far as those go, it's not a good one.
Well, yeah, and I mean, even from the distance that I'm looking at this, you can kind of tell that.
So, let's see. Tara Reid, after this picture was taken, after she accidentally exposed her entire left boob at Puff Daddy's birthday party, Thursday night, she says, I am known as a retard. I want to grow up. I don't want to be the drunk girl. Well, too late, honey.
And was she buzzed when this picture was taken? Is that why she was like,
no?
I saw the video, and she's standing there grinning at the media, and someone comes over. Right? Somebody comes over and puts her dress back
Here's
up on the shoulder.
The left shoulder strap of the dress came down as she removed her fur.
She had
kind of a fur on her shoulder. She removed that for the photographers. They started taking the pictures, and this is the part that I've not seen the video, only the still photo here, that she was partially naked and didn't know it until somebody came up.
I believe that. You can look at her face. She was oblivious to that. She didn't know that was going on.
How could you not know that puppy's hanging out?
I wouldn't. Yeah. I find it. But see how loose that top is in the first place?
I do.
And if she was taking her coat off.
Please to be noticed the scarring.
Yeah.
Take a good look at that up close.
That is a very loose top. That top is the second loosest thing in the picture.
Let's see. It's not a wardrobe malfunction, like Janet Jackson, she says. I don't want to have my picture taken like this. Please don't print this picture. Oh. Like, you can print this picture in the newspaper anyway. Okay, so.
In London.
So what's the deal with the plastic surgeons? Okay, this, the type of surgery. What are you just staring at it, Mike? What are you doing?
An inch from his face.
I'm staring at it. The type of plastic surgery where you go through the nipple can increase the risk of problems with mammograms and nipple sensation.
Mammograms.
Could hurt if she ever wanted to breastfeed. Doctors are also worried about, by doctors I mean plastic surgeons, worried that Tara Reid wasn't wearing a bra Thursday night.
Really?
Because she's pregnant.
Doctors are worried?
Well, she's pregnant.
Oh.
And in the first 3 to 6 months, you want to wear some kind of support. After her implant, she's not pregnant.
No. She's but after not. The surgery, you'd want to wear the support.
Yeah.
Well, what are we saying that she just, this is a brand new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what the doctors are saying, the plastic surgeons, that she just got these within the last couple of weeks.
Collateral damage.
Maybe
there.
The month.
There. We're almost finished here, Ms. Reid.
Yeah, so that's it. She's not
good.
She's not pregnant. They're just saying you want to have support for the first 3 to 6 months with the implants because they tend to settle and you don't want the weight to change too much.
No. Yeah, because then you can have all sorts of whatever.
Then you look like Courtney Love.
Anyway, you know, go on. Do a Google search.
What do you think? I mean, I know around here.
Hold it up again.
Scarring, but I mean, not really.
And I'll tell you, at first glance,
some of that will heal.
Yeah.
First glance, not bad.
Fantastic, but then, like, dog toy territory.
Yeah. Some of that will heal, but
you know that thing you give your dog and you play the
toy.
You play the pulling game.
Yeah, the dog goes. Dogs love that.
Not that I was really researching the story today, but there is a website where they have super high res photos, and it tends to look a little bit like a Frankenstein.
Do you happen to remember what the site is?
I believe it might be thatsjustnotright.com.
Rob Spiewak.
I believe it might be.
What do you
thank you.
I would imagine most of those little searches happen at the Officio, huh?
No, what is it about?
In mine home.
Oh, in mine home? Oh,
yeah,
good.
But always with the cursor on the X.
About Sean Combs.
Just in case.
This is where at the party for
thatsjustnotright.com
for his birthday, and where Tara Reid's breast accidentally, popped out. It was Sean Combs, Puff Daddy's 35th birthday. Through the party himself, everybody was there, even Carson Daly. Hmm. Now, as you walked up to the Cipriani restaurant in New York, here's what Puff Daddy had. He had a dozen guys out there playing the violin as you're walking in. There were giant photos and home movies of P. Diddy's life from boyhood to today that played on the walls as you walked into the restaurant.
Wonderful.
Then, also flashed on the walls very big, the proclamation that no longer would he be P. Daddy, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy. Now he's King Diddy. Diddy. He also had, now figure out for yourself what they're doing here, for all of the guests to relax in.
He's King Diddy now?
Yes, at his birthday party.
What?
Each guest was given the use of porcelain bathtubs and queen-size beds for his birthday party.
That's nice.
If you wanted to take a bath or get a hot tub and then just take a nap and chill out. He also had a rendition of Hey Big Spender. Now, you know that song, Hey Big Spender? Okay, he spared no expense when it comes to changing the lyrics. He did pay for 35 semi-nude girls to run down in formation and then sing, Hey P. Diddy, spend a little time with me.
Wow.
He also had a 35-foot ice sculpture of his name. You know the logo.
The new one or the old one,
right? For his logo for his clothing, Sean Combs.
Oh, I see.
And he also had go-go dancers, acrobats, and hookers.
Wow.
And
that's a party.
When asked why, because I'm 35, dog.
Is that what he said?
That's it. Cause, C-U-Z, mm-hmm. I'm 35, dog, D-A-W-G.
Did you get your invitation this year to his party?
I did not. Did you get yours?
No, mine must have been lost in the mail.
And here we go back with fake boobs. Tara Reid leads right into Kobe Bryant.
He's got fake ones?
Well, no. The girl that he allegedly did whatever he did with, the accuser.
Yeah, right.
Thank you again to SmokingGun.com. They come up with the best stuff for us. They sent over these new court documents that have just been released because the Kobe Bryant rape case, you know, has been, they sent him away.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Kobe's accuser was looking to cash in on her allegations. There's a girl who may have ended up being a witness for the girl. Said 1 month after she accused Kobe Bryant of rape, she was considering a civil lawsuit, and she said if she got any money out of it, this is what the girl wanted to do. The girl who had been abused allegedly by Kobe Bryant. She wanted to open a recording studio, buy herself breast augmentation surgery,
sure.
and buy a pet koala bear for her best friend.
Of course.
Sounds like a bright girl.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a real genius. Which comes first, the koala bear or the breast augmentation?
And Mike, in order, it's recording studio.
Recording studio, right. Well, there's
then,
a practical thing.
Then
right.
breast job,
right.
then koala bear for a friend.
Because, right. you know, with the recording studio, you can make hit records and make money. And with the koala bear, you know, you're just set.
Yeah. I know. You're not going to hear this on Fox News because they're fair and balanced. I did catch this on CNN. A report that the White House is denying. But they're looking now, and this is no big deal, but the reports are that the pressure of the campaign got to Laura Bush and that she started smoking again during the last month of the campaign.
Wow.
Apparently, there's, I don't know the website, is it nicotinemaster.com, whatever the website is, they're looking for anybody with a picture
of the First Lady.
Of Laura Bush. Smoking. She gave up smoking back in the day, around the time that he allegedly gave up drinking.
Ah, right.
So she's...
And now they could both smoke and drink and it would be fine.
She's back. She's back. She's back on the habit.
Hmm.
A White House insider says no one was allowed to see her smoking. This was one of the big campaign moves.
Right.
Not allowed to see this. At events where she appeared, they would have a room off to the side. Where she could close the door and she would chain smoke between 7 and 10 cigarettes before she would come out on stage. Then after she would get together with the family and everything, she'd go back to the room where she'd have another 10 to 15 cigarettes.
Oh my God, this is great.
Now let me see, the White House says this is ridiculous. Laura Bush did not use a smoking room, and can this thing please go away now?
She did not. And if she did, it is carte blanche, as we promised each other. I can get back on the juice.
Also, smoking. Oh, let me send this out.
Joe.
To my friend, Joe, the recently engaged Joe Ardinger. Keanu Reeves snuck onto a fire escape at the Beverly Hills Hilton. This past weekend, on Friday night, to have a smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a fireman that's walking by and says to him, hey, I know you're Keanu Reeves, but I'm a fireman, and there is a no smoking sign right here. The quote from Keanu Reeves that the fireman put in his report was Keanu said, chill out, man. It's just weed.
Ah, ah. Oh, yeah. Joe.
My man.
Slut, okay? It's just weed.
Whoa.
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 This is like great weed.
Whoa, it's just weed. And
speed weed.
For the feel goods.
Oh, yes?
You know, let me see if my brother's going to be sent here. Let me see if he'll be sent after the, we got a stop set coming up. And I'd love to get my brother on here with a story about the train accident.
Sure.
And if you're just tuning in now, I mentioned this at the beginning part of the show. My brother involved in some vehicular, not manslaughter.
No.
But, hey, dude.
Hey, man.
Listen, if we do a stop set here, can I call you back in 10 minutes and you can tell everybody what happened this weekend?
Oh, you going to call me in 10 minutes?
Yeah. Will that work out?
Yeah, that's fine.
Now, Jimmy's concern during the commercial set was that I had somehow portrayed him the wrong way in this.
Oh, no.
And Jimmy, what you don't know is I've not portrayed you in any way.
No.
I screwed up.
I just don't know the facts. There are a lot of questions that all of us have about you running into a car that ran into a moving train
on Saturday.
We
just want to hear all the details, Jim.
Okay.
All right, I'll call you back in 10.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
You haven't portrayed him in any way that, you know, you've just given us the facts.
Right.
I think it was a couple of us that said, I'm dumb. That was
his comment to me was, you know, dude, if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck
right,
at all.
Right,
at
right. Point.
And then
right.
I said, what happened? And he said, well, I'll tell you, do you want the long version or the short version? This is Saturday morning, very early. I said, come on, give me the short version. Okay, I ran into a car, ran into a train, and the train was going about 25, and it dragged the car for about 10 feet, and my car's totaled. No one's hurt, but the conductor says I'm going to have to pay for the damage to the engine, and there's the cops are writing me a ticket, and my car's totaled.
Wow. Bad luck went into my accelerator foot.
But first... But voice
is a feel good.
Okay. Actually, two feel goods.
Oh.
Two feel goods.
Even better.
One is really a real absolute feel good.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, you make the call thing, like the IBM thing. Motel manager. This is from Bellington, Florida. He's got a bus of Special Olympics athletes down at his motel, and he held them at gunpoint. Because he was upset.
The motel manager did?
Yes, because he was upset that their small bus should not be parked in front of the hotel, as to indicate the fact that they had people who would need a small bus staying at the hotel.
So that's why he brandished the gun?
You know, I didn't understand that. I'm sorry.
That's right. There was 19 athletes on board.
Right.
Aged 8 to 22. And anyway, the guy came out in front of the place.
Wait, should he get out of here?
He said, move the truck out back. Move the bus out back. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, and he said that I don't want people coming up to the hotel and seeing your bus. And then he went and did what everybody in Florida did. He got his gun.
Got his gun. He probably wasn't voting, but he was polishing his gun.
And anyway, he decided after 3 hours that he would let the kids go.
Oh. 3 hours worth.
That's 3 hours.
Oh, I know that guy from Meet the Press. I think a little... Excuse me, sir. Oh. Huh. Yeah, wait a minute. Excuse me, sir. Are you Tim?
Tim Russer.
Excuse me. Are you Tim from Meet the Press?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, hi. Nice to see you.
I'm Ronnie. I seen Meet the Press a couple of times.
You ever see Face the Nation? Bob Schieffer's right here.
Oh, Bob Schieffer from CBS.
Much better.
Hi, Bob. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Greg. I seen you on CBS.
Let me go on air. 1 minute.
Oh.
We got to go on this, too. That's Meet the Press and Face the Nation blowing the guy off right. in a mere 5 seconds.
But at least they didn't hold him at gunpoint.
No. That's nice of them.
Oh, Robbie, I need the because this one is too good.
The feel good?
Yeah.
All right.
So this is from Christ, Japan. Yeah, Rob, never forget. 38-year-old woman. She's in an eating competition.
Oh.
It's the Japanese equivalent of our Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Okay, right.
Or maybe, you know, there's that real skinny girl from the D.C. Metro who enters all of these eating contests
right.
and
mm-hmm.
she wins all of them. This is a new big thing over in Japan as well. Let me see. It's a noodle and bread eating contest sponsored by a local Italian restaurant in Japan. A housewife was eating bread when she suddenly had trouble breathing and fell unconscious. She was taken to the hospital. She had choked on the bread. Anyway,
she bought the farm.
Yeah, so she's in this bread and pasta eating contest.
Right.
Yeah. And she was eating so much that it got stuck in her throat. And
bread clogged the airway.
She choked and she died.
Said it before, stay away from the carbs.
So anyway, there you go. That's That's all I got for you today.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
How great is that, though? Yeah. That's a headline that just says, feel good.
Yeah. Sure.
Woman chokes in bread-eating contest. Chokes to death.
Yeah, well, wow. Maybe she picked the wrong contest.
That's better than man accused of holding athletes on bus at gunpoint.
Yes.
Because they don't even say that they're tards.
It depends on your perspective.
And did we get to the stuff about the rats? I guess that'll have to wait for tomorrow. Rats. Rats. Too many. And, you know, we've not yet talked about, God, so many things today. The Dallas reunion showing. I know we had Charlene Tilton on Friday. Let me just say, P.U. to that whole show last night. Did you spend any time with that?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time with it, and I found it very, very sad. I find all those reunion shows where they're all like one step away from the casket, I find them very, very sad.
The thing that Frieda mentioned to me while watching it was, first, the awful, like, homemade video quality when they were
really bad
being interviewed out of
Except for the one where Lucy was by the pool. And adjusting her bathing suit. I kind of enjoyed that one. And another one with Victoria Principal coming up to the camera in a very suggestive way with Larry Hagman's home movies. But then you flip back to Larry Hagman. And Larry Hagman.
The present day Larry Hagman.
Looks like he's on his he's on the last stages of his second
Ken Kercheval, stroke survivor?
I think so.
Oak Cliff Barnes?
Yeah.
And Frieda said to me, it looks like a bad infomercial.
Yeah.
And yeah. Oh, yeah. The new footage is horrible.
Yeah, that's what we were mainly looking at last night.
And phony and silly.
Awful.
Does Larry Hagman really, like, wax and twist his eyebrows to make him come to a point like that?
I know.
It really looks like a villain's mustache.
I think my favorite part was when Charlene Tilton was on with the guy that was Ray Krebs, two people that really didn't have big parts on the show.
Right.
And they had the forced dialogue where he said, well, darling, you certainly had your moments at South Fork. And then she said, and Ray, who will forget the time that you saw the guy in the hospital? And they go to a clip. It has to be, like, out of 200 episodes, the one episode when this guy, Ray Krebs, actually had something to do. He had to pull the plug on someone who was dying.
And I found that when I watched the reunion special, I was very, very gratified that even back in the day, I hadn't watched Dallas.
Oh, no.
Because I thought it was garbage back then. It looked like garbage, you know, really. And
here's the thing, and you see it 25 years later, and we were thinking this as we were watching this. The quality of this reunion show aside, we're watching this. Both Frieda and I were saying, can you believe that we actually used to watch this every week?
Oh, and it was
everybody
huge.
Did.
I mean,
everybody.
I mean,
when we had Charlene Tilton on the show, I mean, it was the hottest show on television.
Did you see when the old men threw Tilton into the pool?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
When she got out, the pool was half empty.
That was really.
But also kind of.
That was forced to.
Also kind of cheesy that Victoria Principal, who I didn't think looked that great.
No, she looked like a Muppet. The best one was.
Did you see the spot that obviously her deal was, I'll be on the show if I get some national TV commercials for my beauty creams?
Yeah, no, I think that was I think there were a lot of deals. The best looking was the one that shot J.R.
Catherine Crosby.
Catherine Crosby, I think it was.
Yeah.
She looked okay.
I think that the best beauty product that Victoria Principal sells apparently is a face widener.
It really looks like it's helium for the face.
I did love that scene, though, where J.R. takes Sue Ellen to the sanitarium.
That was fun. That was fun.
And that's one that I remembered from back in the day.
It's for Youngit. You just take care now. It's going to be all right.
Joe, hello, Joe. Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to let you know that I saw that Cliff Barnes actually passed away recently. I'm not sure if it was today or yesterday. So
really?
Kind of
that was Howard Keel.
Howard Keel, but you're very close.
That was Howard Keel. As Rob said, Keel is now a verb.
You are disqualified. We got a break here.
Real quick, am I the only one who watched My Big Fat Obnoxious Boss?
Yes.
I feel so left out, even when I'm a part of it.
Did anybody else watch Letterman on Regis today?
I did. Yes.
Let's not discuss that. That was awkward beyond belief.
And now I believe for the next, 5 years, Regis will be the trained monkey that will be on the Letterman show.
And listen, I like David Letterman. I think his show is great. But for God's sakes, if you're going to be on TV at 9 o'clock in the morning when you don't have a desk in front of you,
mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, go down to JCPenney, to the Husky department, to the boys department, get the guy to say, here's the deal. If you're going to wear a sweatshirt, that's fine, because you're going to look kind of laid back. And if you want to wear your black corduroy pants, maybe that's even okay. But how about underneath them? Not the gigantic, like, cheerleader, pom-pom girl style, big, just gigantic, fluffy, white athletic socks.
Yeah. With, the open shoes like slippers, so you see a lot of sock.
With brown, crappy loafers.
Right.
And he was showing a lot of leg like Sonny.
Well, he didn't care. It was Regis' show. He didn't care at all.
Yeah, for him, that's like going into hiding.
It was good though.
Yeah, I'll come on your show. but I'll wear what I wear during pregame.
We all watched it this morning. And the last TV note that we have to mention, it's on tonight. We'll have full coverage for you tomorrow. Our dream tonight on CNN, Larry interviews Jerry.
Oh, yeah. The best. And Jerry Lewis? We'll be recording that.
Oh, yeah, and we can only hope that he'll discuss going over the wall and hugging 10 men.
No, not Jerry Lewis. Jerry Stiller.
I was bleeding to death.
There's only one Larry. There's only one Jerry.
And, boy, they do like to talk to each other.
I think it'll be a fine show.
So we'll have that tomorrow. Buzz, of all of these things that we just discussed,
yes?
Did you watch the Dallas reunion?
No. I never watched the original Dallas, so it made no sense to watch the reunion.
Did you watch my big fat obnoxious boss?
No, not a fan of reality shows.
I know you did watch the Regis, though.
I did. I enjoyed that very much, especially the third segment, which was one segment too many with Letterman.
Yeah, that's the last part. I forgot to tell you, Mike, that they had Regis' whole thing was, you know, David Letterman never has dinner with me.
Right.
So they pulled Letterman out for a third segment, and Regis says, here over on the other side of the set, they had a dinner table and real food.
Yeah.
And
steak and potatoes.
And Letterman said, what's going on? And Regis said, sit down, let's have dinner.
We're going to finally have dinner together.
And
9:30 in the morning.
Regis was so into it. It weirdly reminded me of the way that I must have come off with Brian Wilson when he was on the show.
No, this is worse.
Because Regis was sitting there at this fake dinner on the Regis and Kelly show.
You're the greatest, Dave.
And he starts by cutting his meat, and he says to Letterman, so I went to a movie last night. What did you do? And Letterman looks at him like, do you think we're really going to pretend that we're having a meal here?
But Dave didn't want to play.
Yeah. Couldn't have been more uncomfortable.
But he ended up having to save the segment.
Right?
And he ended up taking control. You know, Letterman is sitting there being interviewed on the Regis show.
Right.
And Letterman turns to the crowd and goes, how many of you were in the marathon yesterday? And then during this tedious dinner segment, at one point Letterman gets so just full of waiting for the end. He starts saying, Regis and Kelly, I want to thank you for having me on your show. It's been a real pleasure.
Got to bow out.
And she, Kelly Ripa, the funny one, she says, wait a minute, hold on. You know what's really funny? It's like, you're ending the segment. And the segment's not over yet. You're ending our show, our segment.
So he hated being there.
It was
in the end, maybe.
But it was calling in the marker, I think, of all the years that Regis had just, you know,
knew that.
Where Letterman snaps his fingers and Regis jumps, he comes on the show.
Regis is his butt boy. There's no doubt
now,
about that.
Can you imagine now what he's going to be?
Permanently.
I owe you, big guy.
And the one thing, I know, I'll get this in 30 seconds so we don't run super late. They're talking about television. And Regis says, seriously to Letterman, he says, explain one thing to me, big man. He says, when you're doing your show on CBS, and you call me up at home, and then you just hang up on me after I say hello, he says, seriously, he goes, what's the comedy in that?
Like an old man.
Yeah.
And where's the funny in that?
You know, and then Letterman has, because Letterman's on this show and he's got to be like nice because it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
He goes through this whole thing about kissing Regis's ass. And, you know, well, it's only the biggest people in the business that you take the shots at. And it's only just, you know, you're an icon.
But he's being totally insincere.
Yeah, and I could never hope to wear your toupee, Regis. You're the greatest. So when you call and hang up on me, where's the humor in that?
A little payback from Regis on that
one.
How are you?
Listen,
big man.
Go to the. That was the Letterman said.
Tell me
about it, big man.
Don't call me big man. When we come back, we'll go live to Wisconsin with my brother.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Cousin! What do you think of my spread, huh? Can you believe it? They used to test H-bombs on this beautiful piece of property.
Eddie, don't you worry about radiation.
All I know, Clark, is that my teeth have never been whiter and my garden is spitting out 50-pound tomatoes.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, time to call Jimmy here.
You don't have to be an idiot to understand Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah, idiots get us better.
Here you go. Reno on KBZZ. But how about Austin? Austin's Texas, the Coyote.
How about you?
104.3. York, Pennsylvania. WOAK. And Portland, Oregon. Mass. Max 910. That would be Salem, Oregon, also. KSLM.
And I haven't even mentioned about Buzz. I'm waiting for Buzz. When's Buzz going to bring out the reptiles?
Oh, no. I think that's his Fidel Castro.
You think it's Castro?
Then he's more Jack Hanna or Jack, Fidel Castro?
I think it's Jack Hanna. Right. I think, you know, that simply you are technically older than Fidel Castro, but I think Jack Hanna is what I was going for.
And my first thought was Sergeant Carter.
Sergeant Carter.
Pile.
Like the relaxed Sergeant Carter.
Yes.
Around
all
the
right,
bed.
Pile.
Casual Carter.
Let's see, Friday on the show. We'll have Rich Eisen on from the NFL Network and his show NFL Total Access. Rich is brought to us by Tower Records at Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love. We'll have our NFL Fantasy Recap on tomorrow's episode.
And real quick football question before we call your brother. I was watching, is it T.O.? I think, talking to Donovan. What was he yelling at Donovan McNabb about yesterday? Do you remember that
high? Yeah, of course. And he was yelling at him because they weren't winning the game.
Uh-huh. But that was basically it when they were getting creamed by Pittsburgh.
That's right.
All right. I saw that without any analysis and without it. It was just a... Man, he's a team guy, isn't he, T.O.?
Well, Mike, so am I. So are you sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean,
are you saying hyper-competitive, hate to lose?
Well, and also just kind of, listen, I like T.O.
You do?
Yeah, I do. And I like the fact, here's why. I think he has the potential to be Dennis Rodman. I think he's really starting to believe all the hype. Let me ask you, Jimmy, what are your thoughts on Terrell Owens?
On who?
T.O. of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, I don't know.
Thank you.
Here is my real-life brother, Jim.
Yeah.
From the heartland in Wisconsin.
A visibly shaken Jim.
Yes, Mr. O'Mara, I like that message you left me.
That was fun.
Now, this is the truth.
That was mean.
I get the call.
No, I'm just having fun, Jimmy.
I get the call on Saturday with Jimmy's latest problem, his latest woe.
Uh-huh.
He starts out by saying, if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
Of course.
No, we started it out, I said, how you doing, man?
Oh, okay.
I started it off nonchalantly.
I'm
now,
tired
come
about
on.
You.
Okay, then he starts to tell me, and please.
But you did have some pretty bad luck over the weekend.
Yes.
My brother ran into a minivan, which was at a railroad crossing.
Car of the idiot.
My brother locked bumpers with the car in front of him, which he hit, pushing that car onto the railroad tracks. A Wisconsin railroad car then came down the tracks, hit the minivan, drug both cars for a space, totaled my brother's car.
I got to hear the details.
Yeah.
Well, all right, that's not altogether accurate.
No? All right, well, tell us exactly what happened.
I guess I'm here to clear it up, right?
Right. Do it. I want to hear all the details, Jimmy.
What?
I want to hear all the details.
Okay, are you guys ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
All right, now, the whole time I'm explaining this, now this is a lesson to be learned.
Right.
All right. Now, I was heading to work Saturday morning, 5:30 in the morning.
Yes.
All right. It's dark.
Okay. It was dark. And I was doing a little long, and we crossed over the first set of tracks, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
We come up to the second set of railroad tracks, and this lady in an old beat-up minivan, everybody slows down for the tracks, you know, because they're kind of rough.
Right.
Well, she gets right to the tracks, and the flashing lights go on, saying that there's a train coming.
Uh-huh. Yes.
She hits the brakes once and lets off the brakes. So everybody thought that she was going to proceed on through.
Right, just slowing
down. Before the gate came down.
Right.
Uh-huh. But at the last second, this chick locks up the brakes on her minivan and comes to a complete stop.
What is she thinking? What is she thinking, stopping with an oncoming train coming her way? How dare she?
I don't know.
Yeah. So what?
But I mean, you know, there's a good 20, 30 seconds before the gate drops.
Right.
And you guys know everybody beats the gate.
Well, not everybody.
So you saw her and you were going to follow her.
Well,
through,
you didn't
over
beat
the
gate.
No,
right?
No, I wasn't going to follow her. I started slowing down, but mm-hmm. then I noticed that she came, you know, jammed on her brakes. So I hit my brakes a little harder and was like 30 degrees out. So there was dew and stuff on the road.
Wow.
My brakes locked up.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I slid with locked up brakes. I slid into the back of her and punched her in the butt.
Right. Right. Yeah, bumper to bumper, you mean, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I proceeded to push her car onto the tracks.
Oh, my God. And a train's coming.
Yeah, the train was about 300 yards away.
Are you terrified at this point?
I wasn't terrified, you know, well, I can't say what I said before I hit her, but you know what it is.
Well, you said OS or OF or whatever
the
word is.
Right. Yeah, right. So I put my car in reverse and tried to back up away from her.
Yes.
And I noticed that my bumpers were locked. So I said, well, the hell with this. I better try and, I mean, I punched it in reverse to try and pull her back, too.
Right.
But the bumpers came unhooked, so I backed my car up.
Now, at this point, this lady...
Oh, so you got your car out of the way.
Now, at this point, this lady is just right in the area where the train's going to come. And
is the lady going nuts?
Not really. She got out of her car, you know, and she's standing right next to the door, and this Spanish descent male was standing by the passenger door. And I'm watching the train come closer and closer, and just the nose of her minivan was over the tracks, you know? And I'm thinking, oh, my God. Next thing I know, the train hits her.
Now, are you still in your car?
I'm still in my car,
so
looking at the whole thing.
You're still in your car. The woman in front of you who's out exposed onto the train track, she's jumped out of her car, but you stay in yours. So when you're in your car and the train hits the minivan and starts to pull the minivan along, do you get pulled along as well?
No. I backed up by 5-10 feet away from her car.
So you broke free of her car when you punched it in reverse. These two get out of the car, and they're standing next to the minivan. Did they jump out of the way when they realized the train was coming?
No! They stood right next to the passenger door and the driver's door.
Well, what the hell happened to them when the train hit?
Well, the train clipped the front of their van and moved it about 15 feet, and as soon as the train smacks into the van, then they scatter.
Then they ran out of the way.
Right. Uh-huh.
And did they direct any of their ire towards you? Were they upset with you?
No. Brady comes back to my car, and I'm just opening my door to get out because my door was jammed.
Yeah.
And she's just there, and she's got her arms in the air. She goes, oh, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, obviously.
And I said, well, obviously you made the wrong choice. You should have kept going.
Well, now, Jimmy, as I tried to lecture you the other day, and God knows I've learned this lesson myself, you know, no matter what the situation, the person in front of you stops.
Right.
You're guilty.
I know I'm guilty. I got a $180 ticket out of it.
Hmm.
And how badly was her van damaged?
Oh, God.
Before or after the train hit it?
Okay. Before, well, the whole total accident.
Well, there's two parts to it, though.
Okay.
Before the train hit it, all she would have probably had to do was replace some taillights.
Really?
Okay.
Really.
And what about after the train hit it?
After the train hit it, there's no more minivan.
It just got completely crushed.
The whole front end just about got ripped off.
All right, so now, please be telling us what the train conductor said to you.
Oh, he stopped the train. You know, he had to walk about half a mile back. But I asked him, I said, hey, man, you know, I'm sorry about this. Sorry I'm holding you up. And he says, don't worry about it. And I says, man, how many times do you hit a car? And he says, hey, a lot more times than you would think.
Yeah. Really?
Now, tell everybody, what did he say about it? Wasn't he mad that you had bent something, like a step on the back of his...
Oh, no, this guy wasn't mad at all. It was real laid back, you know? And he just told me and the cop, he says, well, I got minor damage to the steps on my engine.
Right.
So now we're going to be waiting for a bill from the train company and probably detention time.
And probably
the train was stopped for about an hour.
Oh,
it was a big long coal train. It had coal that was going to deliver
their
power plant.
They want to charge you for the delay.
Right, they want to charge Jimmy for the time that that the train was stopped. So
can they do that?
Yeah, they do it all the time, the guy said.
Did they charge people for not getting their load delivered on time?
Right. Just say there's an accident and a train has to stop, you know, before they hit the car, and the train's held up for an hour while they clear an accident. who's ever at fault, they get a bill for detention time.
I've read about a couple of cases of this, though, lately, where the guy who was in that situation, who found himself faced with a bill for causing a railroad delay, got out of it, didn't have to pay it after all.
How much are the bills? I would imagine they're pretty significant.
The coal? I don't know what the coal is worth.
How did he get out of it? Let me know.
I will. I'll look in. I'll find those stories for you, Jimmy.
But Jimmy,
yeah.
But Jimmy,
you mail it to me.
The good news is that you're okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. And the people, my pride's hurt.
Well, you could have been
a dead cat.
Yeah, but you could have been what?
I got a dead cat.
His Jaguar. But I was showing Mike the pictures you sent me on the AOL, where you've got, my brother sent me a picture of the wrecked car.
Yeah, that doesn't look totaled to me, Jimmy.
Well, we got it towed home and stuff, and where it's parked, where I took the pictures, I got in it, hooked the battery up, it started right up.
Oh, so it isn't totaled at all.
It drove, yeah, but I mean, you know, the frame is probably damaged.
Right.
One of the gas tanks is leaking a little bit now, the you know, all the crap out in front of the motor, like the radiator, the sensors and all, they're all damaged. And I mean,
probably not worth it.
For Blue Book value, what the car's worth is totaled.
Yeah.
It cost me probably $8,000 to get it fixed.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
So, you know. So if anybody needs any Jaguar parts, get a hold of me.
You need to go on Oprah.
All the Jaguar fans out there.
It's going to be going up on eBay. I'm going to part it out on eBay.
You know, you're too funny. You slay me with this stuff.
I'm not funny, but, you know, hey.
You are. You slay me with this thing. You're the only guy I know that can run into a train, have it be your fault. Somehow, when you're telling it, it's not really your fault. The car's not really totaled, and you're laughing about it.
I'm not laughing about it, man. I was about ready to cry Saturday morning.
Yeah, I bet
sure,
you were.
Of course.
I bet you were.
My pride hurt.
A lot of paperwork when you hit a train.
No, you know.
And the people in the minivan were cool to you?
Oh, yeah. They weren't mad or nothing.
Jimmy, did you say they had some taillights out?
Yeah, I knocked both their taillights out.
That could work in your favor as well if you want to challenge that ticket.
Now, that's what I told Marnie. I says, man, I should have told him I didn't see any taillights.
But didn't you break the taillight?
Turn the car on and try it, you know?
Yeah, he broke the taillights.
Okay.
All right, well, anyway, you know, listen, you're safe, and that's the story
right. That
my brother hit a train this weekend.
And the moral of the story is, you know, if you see those little bars come down, stop.
Or go.
The bar didn't actually come down. We were like maybe 20 feet from the tracks, or not 20, 20 yards from the tracks when the light started blinking.
The guy from Spain didn't get hit by the train.
The guy of Spanish descent.
Right.
No, he didn't get hit by the train.
And here's a question for you that's unrelated to any of this. I'm just curious in all of this. And without getting into specific amounts, because I said to my brother, how can I help? You need a car to get to work. What do you need? So we got some dough out there. My question is, after you pay the ticket and after you bought the car, how much of my money were you able to pocket? How much?
I didn't even pay the ticket yet.
No.
So you've made no money on this accident yet.
No.
Can we hear about the new ride?
Oh, no, I showed the guys the picture. Let's talk about this.
It's a 95 Chrysler New Yorker LHF.
And you like it?
It's got new Goodyear Eagles all the way around.
Good.
It's a pretty nice car.
I think it's more you, Jimmy, really, than the Jaguar was.
Well, the Jaguar, man, I always used to get compliments, you know. Chicks would wave at me.
Well, you're married now. You're married with kids.
Now I'm driving a family car.
That's right.
You know,
a family truckster.
This is what I love about him. You know, he's complaining about this now. Never mind.
We'll trade at some point.
Never mind.
No, I like the luxury family car.
If you get tired of it, just hang out near the train tracks.
You know, and my only point is, be glad you got a car.
Yeah.
I mean, be glad you got a car.
I am glad.
Okay. And be glad you're alive.
Glad, man.
Be glad you're alive. You dummy. You damn dummy. You ran into a moving train. You crashed a car. You're lucky to be alive.
I guess.
You're so not shaken. Do you have a lot of brushes with death?
I guess so.
He probably took it from them.
20 years ago.
What, Jimmy?
What?
What did you just say?
I said I should have been dead 20 years ago.
Just make sure that the Chrysler LHS stands for Let's Handle Safely.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yes, I've reduced my speed considerably.
Very good.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with all of us again. Yeah. Glad you're okay.
There he goes.
Okay. Oh, you cracked me up.
All right, I'm dumb. I'll talk to you later.
All right, dude. Thanks.
Okay, all right.
Stay on the right track.
Bye-bye.
Stay on the right track.
LHS, let's hook up the seatbelt.
JPS.
Wow.
My brother.
Yeah.
Ain't he a piece of work?
He's a piece of work, but, you know, he gave us all the details. Yep. It sounds like everybody's going to be just fine.
You know, anybody else, I got to think you'd at least be a little shaken. Regardless of the speed.
I'd be freaked out, you know, if I knew that I was responsible for almost killing two people.
Not Jimmy.
It wasn't his brush with death. It was those people in the minivan.
He's not bothered by it at all. Phone scan, here we go. We got just enough time for a mini phone scan, so get on the line to get on the air. We'll take your on-screen calls on any topic. Our phone number 877-365-3636. Okay, call us now for the phone scan. My brother is very trainable.
I'm all right or so.
We'll be back with your call.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, I get it. You're joking. Well, I've got a sense of humor. I laugh at Tony Danza. Of course, if you aren't joking, I feel bad and I apologize.
I laugh at Tony Danza.
I laugh at Tony Danza. I laugh at Tony Danza.
All right, that's it.
The Don and Mike Show. They love wigs and the women who wear them.
Hey.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
All right, let's get right into these calls. At 877-365-3636, the rotating random phone scan. Here we go. On-screen calls from anywhere. Anybody. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Don and G, get ready for the train crash sound.
Why?
Because it's me on the phone. I'm a train wreck of a show. I come in and I just...
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
See, that's what my brother should have done.
Yes.
Simply apply the brakes. Uh-huh.
Gently but swiftly.
As soon as you find out there's a man of Spanish descent on the telephone in front of you, telling you that he's going to be a troublesome caller.
I'm a train wreck of a show. That's what he said.
And now he's sucking dial tone.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Radio God.
Howdy.
Yes, I would like to say, your Pittsburgh listener here.
Congratulations on your big win.
And hold on, let me just say, you said that in a way that would give someone the impression that we only have one listener in Pittsburgh, and I'm here to tell you that we actually have three.
Yeah.
No, Don, that's not, well, maybe a hint, but although I am a truck driver, I've listened to you up and down Washington, back and forth to Pittsburgh, and you did come to Pittsburgh. But it's no fault of yours here. You wouldn't know you're on the air with the piss poor reception, plus no advertisement. But I'm spreading the word.
Doing
the work.
We appreciate you doing the baby.
And I was congratulating you simply on the second week in a row that your team has pulled out a great victory over
you,
an undefeated team.
A Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Yes.
Are you a Steelers fan?
Well, I'm... I'm probably around your age. I'm 42.
Uh-huh.
So in 1974, I was 13 years old when everything started happening for the Steelers. It was an immaculate reception.
Hey, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Can you count backwards from five? Please?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right.
Is it common for an English master's degree to get a job driving a truck?
Very uncommon. Right?
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. Hey, Buzz.
And we never found out whether he was a fan.
Of the Steelers?
Yeah, we never really. He started to tell a story.
A long story.
And we have three listeners.
It included times and dates.
I don't care what he says. We have three listeners in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we do.
That was the immaculate phone call.
Yeah, I would think that the city of Pittsburgh would be kind of jumping today.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to let you know I love going out to O'Mara's on Fridays.
Thanks. Look around cafe.
Well, stop in anytime and see me. I'll buy you a drink and then two for me.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
That's kind of my practice now. It's getting me through these times.
Sure.
It really is. It's like one for someone and two for me.
Hello, what can we do for you?
No. You know, I used to have a thing where, you know, if that would happen, I would say bye. Just if somebody, you know, wants to buy a shot or something, just pour water in there. That lasted an hour. It isn't any fun. What's the point?
Noted restaurateur and radio funny man.
Yes, siree. Hi, I'm Alan Hale.
Thanks. Look Around Cafe.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, what station in York, PA are you on?
W-O-Y-K.
What's the number for that?
Listen, I don't know. Do you want me to come to the bathroom tomorrow and help you clean yourself up? I mean, come on, get out of here. What are you doing? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Congratulations on the Steelers.
Hello. This is the Don and Mike show.
Hello? Are you a fan?
1974.
Yeah,
hello.
That was a long time
Don
ago.
And Mike show.
Hello, Don.
Hello. Are you there?
Hello.
You're on the air.
Don and Mike calling from Mellonville, Ontario, home of Jerry Todd.
Jerry Todd.
Mellonville, Ontario.
Right on. Rick Moranis, what can we do for you?
Hey, I just want to give you a little abbreviation. I know you guys are masters of abbreviations, all that kind of stuff. SP, I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
SP, is it something we can say on the radio?
SP as in Sign Princess. Kind of a little bit of code slang that we use up here in
Sign
the north
Princess?
Of Ellenville.
You say S-I-G-N?
No, we're in with letters, abbreviations, and we're trying to communicate with the Canadian.
I know. When you see a real
Canadian
nice,
who's
little,
talking at the
hey,
same time I'm talking
here.
And doesn't care about that.
Right. Hello, Canadian.
Are you a Pittsburgh Steelers fan?
Am I a Steelers fan? No,
don't answer
I'm
a question
fan,
with a question.
Okay, why did you call?
Hey, just to give you guys a little bit of abbreviation update, you know?
Hey,
do me a favor, please.
Put the abbreviation in the refrigerator.
Listen, everybody, hold on. We have a technical issue here. Would you please count down from three backwards?
3, 2, 1.
Okay, thank you.
Works every time. Hello, Don and Mike show.
It's a new twist.
My boys, my boys.
My boy, my boy. What's happening?
How you got? Oh, not much. What's going on with you guys?
Hey,
how'd you guys?
Fulfilling a 5-year contract minute by minute.
How'd fantasy football go this weekend?
How are you anyway?
I'm well. Very well.
That's
thank
good.
You.
That's good. What can we do for you?
I was just wondering how the fantasy football went.
Right, we'll have that on tomorrow's episode, I believe. We talked about since
Don just said
there
that.
Are some games that will be played tonight that will have an impact on tomorrow's games.
Can we get a sneak peek? Can we get an update?
I will tell you, for me, I believe it's not looking good.
Do me a favor. Would you count back 3, 2, 1?
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
3.
Yeah.
2.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show. He was smart guy because he knew what was coming.
Yeah. He was right. Trying to outsmart you.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
I outsmarted him. I hung up on him on 2.
You did there, boy.
Yeah, with my Mensa pencil.
Yeah, boy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You're as swift as Jonathan.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi there.
Hi. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
I've been listening to you guys for a long time. It's the first time I've gotten through.
God bless.
Much appreciated. What can we do for you?
I just wanted to tell you guys that you make my rush hour trip so enjoyable.
And you,
thank you.
And you make me feel like a natural woman.
You make me feel like dancing. Anybody?
You make me feel like dancing every time I'm
you are so
here.
Beautiful to me.
You make me feel brand new.
You guys are awesome.
You got what I need.
Oh, baby, you! Okay, that's the winner.
Thank you. Oh, I won that one. I never win those.
You're the winner on Biz Markie.
I never win those.
No, it's good.
You!
Hello, Don. Don and Mike show, hello.
Hello, Don and Mike, how are you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hey, good, great. Hey, Mr. Don, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. What else? What
how
else can we
mean?
Do? We've been fine. Get on the phone.
Mr. Don!
Hello. Don and Mike show, hello.
Oh, good afternoon.
Hi there.
Yes, I was wondering, this is Sergeant Peterson, Chicago Police.
Get out of here.
Hello.
Peterson.
Don and Mike show. This is Michael Hughes.
This is Michael Hughes. Make sure to have Sloan out in front of the school.
Hello, Don and Mike
well,
show.
We've had a bit of bad luck.
Hughes is actually Rooney.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it would be...
Hello. You just produce a corpse and we'll be fine.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi there.
Hi. I just wanted to call and tell Mike that O'Mara's was much better than the place that it used to be.
Thanks.
Okay.
Look around.
I want to issue a warning here. Now, I get an occasional free plug from my partner, and if people start calling on a regular basis, I'm not going to get those anymore, and I have to tell you, I rely on those. That's why I'm having a big sign that says, Look Around Cafe.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Made out of neon.
Hello.
Yes, Don and Mike.
See, I'm going to know when there. I know you don't like the gratuitous, but I will be contributing to the welfare of this radio station.
I know.
Soon.
You traded out the Christmas party.
Yeah,
there.
I will.
Very
absolutely.
Nice. So you soon be hearing real commercials for Mike's restaurant that he actually pays for.
Yeah, and technically, yeah, you know, well, like any other business would. You know, I mean, it's still not, you know,
roundabout way.
Not like I'm going to the wall.
Hello.
Some barter involved.
Right. Hello there.
Not a much.
Some barter may be expected.
Hello, what can we do for you?
How have you been?
Okay. Come on, what do you want?
Hey, Mike, is the Red Sox honeymoon over yet?
I haven't even, you know, I was saying to somebody the other night, I have not even really digested. You know what I did Saturday morning?
Mm-hmm.
I've replayed the entire 19-8 game 3 where the Yankees
were they lost?
Yes.
Why would you do that?
Because it was fun. Because nobody at that moment knew what was happening, and especially when Joe Buck says, and right now, in order for the Red Sox to do anything, they would have to have one of the greatest comebacks in franchise history. And I just sat there in my underwear on the couch and went,
hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Swear to God, I did that.
Hello. Phone's coming. Yes, hello. Oh, come on, please.
Hey, and did Fox go nuts with the crowd shots in that 19-8 game, showing the people, the devastated Red Sox fans? It was amazing. I think it's a, and you know, because when I TiVo'd the games, that's one of the games I TiVo'd. I didn't TiVo either game 7 of the Yankees series or the fourth game of the World Series. I just have these middle games because I was so
wacky. Do you think anybody remembers what you're talking about right now?
What's that?
Like about how the Fox had shots of people in whatever game it was.
Of course. It was the highest rated playoff game in baseball history. A lot higher than the NFL.
We have a short attention span.
Right.
And not a lot higher than the NFL.
Sure it was.
It was not.
It was too. It blew the doors off.
A lot higher than what? Than the regular season NFL game?
It was the highest
rated. Than whatever the crappy Monday night game was? It was not the highest rated game of all time.
America is falling in love with baseball again. It's fantastic.
Listen, I'm glad for you. I'm happy for you with the Red
but it's
Sox.
The truth. I'm telling the truth. I mean that is uh-huh. that whole thing really re-energized baseball as yeah. much as you
I
might not
I
like
that. I feel it wherever I go now. I'm feeling the baseball fever.
But people got into it because 2 years in a row you had probably one of the greatest series of playoff games.
It wasn't the highest rated game of all time.
The ratings were very, very high.
It was the highest rated game since 1991.
Okay. All right. It's great though. I mean baseball's back. I really feel like that.
Okay. I'm happy for you.
No, you're not.
you bastard, I can't win with you. You know,
you got these little eyes looking at me and you say, I'm happy for you, and you're not.
I only mentioned the fact I'm trying to add some levity to the situation.
Right.
You said, well, I'm sure everybody remembers in the great 19-8 game that only a retard fan like you would record to begin with.
Now, see, when you call me a retard fan, that proves to me that you're incredibly joyful for me.
I would say the same about myself recording. Who the hell but a retarded Red Sox fan or a retarded fan of any team would record a loss, watch it, then come on the radio and say, hey, incidentally, this game that was played a month ago,
right,
that the Red Sox lost 19-8, who remembers the shots of the people in the crowd?
Right.
Nobody would but a retard that would tape the game.
Well, I was talking about the 19-8 blowout game and that they were showing shots of the crowd. And a lot of people watched that baseball
and
game.
And I only got...
A lot of people watched that whole series.
I only got my ire up because you said it was better than the NFL.
I know. Well, I only said it was better than the NFL because you were calling me a retarded fan without
saying. And that's a compliment.
It's not a compliment.
It's a compliment. I'm a retarded Packers fan.
I mean, it was incredible. I was sitting there watching the loss. I was watching it because, I mean, that was just... Yes, if I'm a retarded fan, and you would be as charged.
You would say the same to me if I came in and I was talking about like a game that was a month ago, an important game with the Packers. I said, who remembers when the Packers were losing the Lions 24-13 and they have the shots of all the people in the stands? You'd say the same thing.
If the Packers had played, say, in the championship game before the Super Bowl, and it was less than a month old, in fact, less than 2 weeks old, I probably, you know, you probably could make a case that people would remember that. If anybody was a sports fan and they watched the championship game. And that's what this is equal to.
Nobody remembers.
Well, they would remember it if it was like 2 weeks old, which is what it is. It's still 2 weeks old.
No, it's more than 2 weeks old.
Well, I mean, with the World Series or the Championship Series?
The 19-8 game.
if you want to get specific, yes, that would be 3 weeks old. That would be 3 weeks. 3 weeks! Less than a month! I'm still digging it! I'm still loving it!
Great! More power to you.
Absolutely.
More power to you, just not better than the National Football League.
Reverse the curse, baby.
Mm-hmm. You did so on behalf of all sports fans. Shut up!
I'm not going to shut up. It was 86 years. I'm not going to shut up.
God, where was this the day that they won? The day I gave you the whole first hour of the show.
I did, and I took the first hour.
I
want more.
No, but you didn't do it like this, though.
Well, what do you mean? Well, it's because you're putting me down.
I'm not putting you down.
You're calling me a retard.
I'm not your retard. I am not.
I'm into it. Don't you know that's not going to be over? I can't fake that. I can't come in here and go, yeah, you're right.
I know. And listen.
And sometimes, once in a while, even though everybody can't relate to it, I can still talk about
it. I understand. And listen.
And I thought that would be a funny little relatable, that I was so into it that I was actually watching a loss to look at the sad faces. That's what I did. That's kind of weird.
Mike?
Yes.
I agree. It's funny. I'm talking to you now this way that you talk to someone who... You have to talk to this way.
You mean you're talking me back off the ledge right now?
I agree. It's funny that you would watch a game 3 weeks old in your underwear. That's funny.
You know, you should know this.
What? What? No, what?
Game 7 of that Yankees series, you know, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been the Yobit show, okay? It seriously could have been.
Come on, get out of here.
Yeah, okay, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Make all the jokes you want.
You have been through all
the jokes you want. You would have had a fantastic tribute to me.
You would have been happier if they would have lost. You'd be able to perpetuate the misery.
And they can't take that away from me.
No, they never can.
God.
Retard.
I mean that in the best possible way.
Though. I am still into it. The answer to that caller's question is, I haven't really, celebrated it. It's an ongoing thing. If you looked at me through my day, you'd be funny. I have the screensaver now that's on there. I watched this morning at the computer. I watched the still photos of the fourth game of the World Series, the celebrations and stuff like that.
Okay.
I'm still into it.
I'm glad you are.
I know you said maybe now you'll shut up about it, but
hello?
I can't.
Hello?
Because
Don and Mike.
Hello?
And we're going to go for next year.
Oh, God.
Don and Mike.
Listen, yes, what?
Hey, I am so glad you guys are still on. I came back after like 8 years leaving Sacramento area, and I came back and you guys are on. Unbelievable. What was the name of that guy that used to call Buzz and start crying?
I don't even know. Listen, you've won a prize. Let me ask you a question.
Right on. Congratulations on your return to Sacramento.
Thanks.
You are the last person on the phone, Skin.
Right on.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What moment do you remember most about the 19-8 Red Sox loss to the Yankees?
Was that when Pedro and Ramon were shaking heads in the dugout?
Yeah, that's a good... you're not going to be able to fool me with that.
He's right. Pedro pitched in that game. Uh-huh. Technically, he knew what you were talking about, Don. I win.
He did not.
I win.
Bingo.
Bingo.
Yeah, okay.
Bingo. Yeah, it was something, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, because baseball's red.
Great.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
God bless those Red Sox.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
That's right.
Listen, ass, you want the Lord of the Rings box set on DVD.
Right on. Cool.
Catch part two of the broadcast premiere, the first of the trilogy. That's tonight on the WB.
Sweet.
Thank you. Hold on.
Sure, thanks.
Right, ass.
And I won't even mention the fact that on the starting lineup, I don't believe any Red Sox named Ramon. Thank you.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
sure about
one
that?
Man found a way to
excuse me, they're all named Ramon. On the Red Sox.
When you say you're sure about that, I'm not.
Buzz?
Yes.
Buzz. You are such a retard with your news.
Yes, I am.
You really
I'm proud
are.
Of it.
What is your lead story tonight in the news and comments, Buzz?
Today, the U.S. goes to war in Iraq. Again.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Here we go.
Stay tuned for news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike
Don
Show.
And Mike. That was very
bandable.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
I gotcha.
Here with a lovely radio bouquet for ye.
Hi.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, let's go to a Buzz Now with News Buzz, brought to us tonight by Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
Smoke Break, break the nasty habit of gaining weight. Smoke Break, revolutionary tablet. Get it now. Retailers, Steve. Stephen Wonder.
All right.
Little. Stephen Wonder.
You wild, wild west.
Oh, I hate it when you do that.
I mean, I hate it. Not just you,
Mike. But I'm on
a
roll.
No, no. I meant anybody.
All right.
You know, because that's one of those Will Smith songs that I don't mind that Will Smith took whatever the, he's the greatest dancer. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the getting jiggy
right.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got Forget Me Nots, Patrice Russian, which was Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay, but, you know. Don't mess with Steve.
Okay, no.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, I didn't know you hated that.
That was just not, that was for everybody, Mike.
I, you know, after the last segment, I wouldn't have done something that I knew you were going to hate again.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't have. I would have done the opposite, done something sure. you'd enjoy.
It would please you.
To get back in your good graces.
Yeah, because I hate you so bad. Because you're such a tard.
Wiki wow wow.
Because there's not another way that we can work another 5 minutes together.
I know.
Because that's how awful things are.
No, but I know that, you know, after something like that, I always want to amuse. You know, I want to amuse. I didn't know.
Me
and then
too.
You said you hated that.
You
I didn't know that.
You amused me when you thought that somebody actually would remember a 19-8 game with people in the stands.
Okay.
Don't look at me like that.
No, we're fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Your team won.
They did. I'm still enjoying it.
And tonight on many of these Infinity Broadcasting Stations,
yes?
please to be listening when Ron and Fez have really the dumbest man in the world, J-Dubs.
Uh-huh.
Now, we have this guy on the show when he got the Detroit Lions tattoo.
Here he comes.
Here he is.
My general manager.
How's it going?
What's happening, dummy?
Not bad. Not much.
So this idiot...
Not bad. Not much.
Beginning of the year, this idiot gets a tattoo, full color, says Detroit Lions 2004 Super Bowl champions.
Right.
Now, the Lions played the Redskins. That's our home team here in D.C. this past weekend. Makes a bet with somebody on Ron and Fez that involves, of course, another tattoo.
Oh, dear.
Now, who did you bet against?
I bet against the Redskins.
Because you're from the Detroit area.
No, I mean, I know that Detroit fan.
Oh, I bet against one of our interns, Ogre.
The big guy with the deep voice.
The creepy-looking old guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So you're going to get tattooed tonight on Ron Fez?
Actually, it's going to be Thursday night. I couldn't get the tattoo artist in.
Sure. And what are you going to have tattooed now?
I'm going to get the score tattooed on my arm.
Whereabouts on your arm?
On the inside. The complete opposite side of
yeah.
what?
So it's not been the year you expected, right?
No, it's been actually a strong series of bad luck.
Yeah.
So.
No. Anyway, I wanted to plug that. That's tonight on Ron and Fez.
Well, you're giving up your body for the show. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything you'd like to add to this?
How about the other guy? Bring in the weird-looking guy.
You mean Ogre?
Okay. Yeah.
We haven't had Ogre on our show. Now I'm frightened.
He looks to me... Oh, God. Hold on. It'll come to me as soon as he comes
in. Here comes Ogre. This is hi, Ogre. You bet, Dubs.
I'm just like a looking old guy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Listen.
Man, what a crew we got around here.
Mm-hmm. How old are you, really?
I'll be 40 in April.
40.
I thought that we had the world's oldest phone screener,
right.
Ron and Fez.
Right.
What are you, an intern?
That's correct. I work for free.
Wow.
Look at his face.
Winner. Doesn't the guy just look like a psycho killer to you?
He does. But it's nice finally having him on the show. But he is frightening. Yes.
So anyway, you beat Dum Dum Dubs. And what would have happened to you if you had lost?
A full head shave, both eyebrows, double nipple pierce, and also probably a navel as well.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
Well,
so, I mean, I don't know which is worse. I think for Dubs, having the score.
The thing with Dubs, it never goes away. A tattoo never goes away.
Right. My thing is, I have the worst tattoos in the world anyway. I have a clown shooting heroin on one arm. I have the Detroit Lions tattoo on my other arm.
Explain the Detroit Lions tattoo.
The Detroit Lions tattoo is...
It says Super Bowl.
Super Bowl champs 2005.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I said 2004. It's 2005, meaning this year.
Yeah.
Meaning this season.
Right. Well, but wait a minute, but it says 2004, doesn't it?
No, it says 2005.
It does say 2005.
Because a 5 could be made into a 6.
Or an 8.
That's right.
Or an 8.
All right, well, nice seeing you, dummy. And a nice meeting you, Ogre.
Ogre, pleasure.
pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You know who Ogre looks like?
Ooh.
As if our production director, Chris Owens, finally shaved. Doesn't he?
They do look similar. It's a strange place.
It's a funny
Joe.
Place is what it is.
Joe for just
Hello?
Hey, would you put Joe on?
Hello?
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Who's older, you or that guy Ogre?
I don't know.
How old are you, Joe?
I'm 40.
So they're both 40.
We'd have to check birthdays, but I think technically, regardless...
Joe's the winner, though, right?
Joe has somebody lower on the pecking order than he is.
Right. Because Joe is a full-time employee. Joe's one of those Infinity 39-hour-a-week employees.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So technically, Joe is full-time. Hey, Joe, you got someone lower than you on the food chain.
He's actually going to be 40 later this year, so I'm older than him.
You're older, but...
No one can beat me.
But wait a minute, Joe, but it's a non-paid position. He's an intern at his age.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So come on, Joe. And you're engaged.
Yes, I am.
Christ, what a day.
And you're going to have kids. You're planning to have kids.
Yes.
Which is a cool thing.
Just think, Joe, if all goes well.
What, Robbie?
Just think, Joe, if all goes well, when your kids graduate, you'll be 60.
I know, I'll be one of those old farts.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, Joe.
No.
Kids. This was a celebratory call, Joe. You have somebody that's lower than you on the food chain.
Hooray! And a reason to drink tonight.
There you go.
Bye, Joe.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Like that was necessary.
Good girl, no, so fast.
He's pretty Joey today, isn't he?
It's Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Monday Joe.
You
know, I don't know.
I keep turning that show on Thursday nights at 8 and keep thinking it's going to be...
Joe, I'm Joe.
But it's a guy from Friends. I keep thinking Joey is going to be my man.
Joey. And Joey is now not the most challenged person here.
Ogre.
Maybe Ogre should have a show.
Thanks, Rob. That voice through. Thank you, sir.
Ardinger here. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Joe.
Hey, Rachel. Ardinger here. Hi, Courtney Cox. How you doing?
Thank you, guys.
You better show.
Buzz?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Americans on the March.
And what do you get if you cross Joe and that other guy? You get Joe Gore.
I like that.
Joger.
Oh, that makes sense to me, Don.
Joker. Combination of Joe and Ogre.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Joker.
Armed with their rifles, their Bibles, and a 51% mandate, American soldiers have stormed the Iraqi city of Fallujah. 10,000 American soldiers and 2,000 Iraqi soldiers.
I want you to know something, mister. I'm on to you.
Okay.
Okay? I'm listening to what you're saying. I hear that with the 51% thing. I heard that.
I'm going to be more wily than ever.
Okay.
It is the fiercest fighting since before the president announced mission accomplished in Iraq. The escalation of the war was expected after the new Iraqi government declared a state of emergency following more suicide attacks by rebels. This state of emergency was no surprise either, considering the area around Fallujah had come to be known as the Triangle of Death. This is Operation Phantom Fury, so state of emergency sounds less menacing. Sounding every bit as menacing, however, are the special U.S. soldiers in the area. They're known as the Black Watch.
Mm. And listen, here's the thing, and we're all agreed to support our troops regardless.
Of course.
And
well,
I'm against
of course.
The war, but
and
you
I
support
think now,
the troops.
I mean, whether you voted for Kerry or Bush, now you know we're going in there. Let's go in there and finish the job.
Right. Here's the only thing I wish we would do as a nation.
Right.
I wish we'd stop coming up with the dumb names for whatever it is. This is
the Black Watch is,
no, no,
is
no, no,
now
no.
conducting Operation Phantom
no.
Fury.
Okay, Black Watch, that's like a core, that's like a group of guys. Right,
right? Soldiers.
That's a fighting group. It's okay if they have a nickname.
Oh, of course.
But when you call the entire thing, what is this now?
The Operation Phantom Fury in the Triangle of Death.
That movie, Operation Dumbo Drop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With Ray Liotta.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like... Dudes, don't give every battle a name.
I thought it used to be the campaigns were the only things that had names, like Desert Storm.
Right.
That was the whole campaign. Have we always named
we love
battles?
The name stuff?
No, we've not. I mean, think back.
Really knew.
Now, granted, I was 10 or 11, but I know that in Vietnam that we didn't have
the Tet Offensive.
Anything now where they get the fancy patriotic names?
And the Tet Offensive was the other guys, attacking.
Yeah,
them.
I know,
it seems silly. Now, but it's going to make the merchandising a lot easier.
Yeah, it is. The shirts. And
like I've always said, tet for tet.
That's right. Thank you.
Now, just before this...
That's what Tara Reid said.
Just before this new battle in Fallujah, as Marines were massing outside the city, 35 of them, at least in one location, swayed to heavy metal Christian music and prayed. Quoting a first sergeant, church attendance is always up before the big push. You are the sovereign. Your name is holy, they were told. You are the pure, spotless lamb. Victory belongs to the Lord, said a young Marine. Three Marines stripped down to their underwear to be baptized before the new assault.
This is the real deal, though. When you see the shots of those guys, you see the videotape. This is, I mean, this is real stuff.
Absolutely.
And, and the other thing that I have to say, I swear this is the absolute God's truth. This is not a heavy statement. Please don't delete me out. I'm going to use a word that when I see Fallujah written or I see it in a graphic on TV, the word that comes to my mind is fellatio.
No, that won't be deflated, I don't think.
No, listen, I don't... it's a technical term.
Right.
I'm not inferring anything sexual. No. I'm just saying, when I see that word...
It reminds you.
I'm telling you that, for whatever reason, the way my brain is wired...
And when you say that word, 1,000 things to say are spinning around in my brain.
Well...
Yeah, that was okay.
And I can't say any of it.
Funny you should bring this up, because...
Operation Dumbo Drop.
As I raise the question, what's the rest of the Grand Coalition up to? Well, the Brits are investigating...
Give me just a moment, but I should collect myself.
From your mouth to God's ears, Buzz.
The Brits are investigating, meanwhile, the home video of some hot girl-on-girl action that was shot inside a British army tent in the heart of the war zone.
England can kiss my ass.
The two blondes and the rest of the Royal Engineers in that tent are being quizzed today by the Royal Military Police Special Investigation Unit. Dozens of copies of this Fallujah tape are circulating throughout the military
bases.
Now
it's hard not to think of it, isn't it?
I was just thinking that right now. Now I can't think of Fallujah.
Yeah, and this song goes through my head as well.
Every time you hear Fallujah.
Yeah, which makes me think of... I swear to God, I mean, I'm not saying that to be a shock jock.
Right.
Even when I watch Fox News Channel, I just see the bottom line, I go, oh, wow, there's advanced, wow.
Yeah. And now all of us are going to think of that every single time.
It doesn't work the other way, though, does it?
I'll let you know the next time the other way comes up in my vocabulary.
Depends.
It's been a couple of years now.
We shall see.
Dozens of copies of this videotape are circulating throughout military bases in Iraq. Quoting the whistleblower, this bunch seem to think it's a party.
Speaking of whistleblower,
I've never come across debauchery like this in 15 years in the army.
Let's hear it for Fallujah. Fallujah.
Still photos of the lovely Angie and the equally attractive Jane are on the web now. When some of the male soldiers start to join in, other British soldiers object, not on moral grounds, but because they can't see.
Premarital Fallujah.
Quoting an investigator, these few bad apples will be rooted out. We want them drummed out of the army.
Let's not lose our heads.
Yeah.
One bad apple don't ruin a whole bunch, girl.
When we come back,
yeah, Buzz?
An update on homeland insecurity.
Okay, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
God hates the lazy.
Yeah.
He loves the Don and Mike Show.
Remember Buzz's News Now? Continue Buzz brought to you this time by Viromax. World's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer.
Someone called for a doctor?
Number one. It really works, Viromax. Get it nationwide. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. We're talking about the Ron and Fez show a couple of seconds ago. Fez caught me out the hallway and kind of invited himself to our drinking show.
Yeah, I heard him on his show talking about it.
The Absinthe show. So I said to Fez, of course you are welcome to join us for the All Absinthe show on Wednesday.
Great. Two beautiful glowing green bottles arrived today via international mail.
Wonderful. Will that be enough, Buzz?
I hope so. Absinthium 1870?
I don't know.
Oh, I hope so.
Are you going to be doing your special mixture thing?
Sure, I'll be happy to.
And that's the only way that it's palatable. Otherwise, it's not really drinkable.
And also on Wednesday, besides guest drinker Fez Watley, will also be joined by... Who's the guy from Bare Naked Ladies?
He is the one that is not the not lead singer.
Why don't you just say I don't know?
Because I don't.
We really should give a name of the artist.
Oh, no, I'm asking the wrong person.
Very good.
Is Beth Ann back there?
No, she's not.
Joe, do you know who the guy from Bare Naked Ladies is that's coming in Wednesday?
No, I can't remember.
Yeah, okay. No. See, but
I think he's stubby.
But maybe once I meet him, he can be my second rock star friend.
That'd be great.
He's chubby. They're all chubby, Rob.
Yes, that was...
I guess that would be your joke.
They're great.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Anyway, the guy's coming in. He'll play acoustically.
He's great.
It's the Absinthe show.
He's the best one I know.
He's the best one in the band.
Do you have glasses?
I don't know.
Hi, bud.
He's the Paul.
Hi, Don and Mike.
The Paul of BML.
So while Americans are fighting and the Brits are making home movies, in Italy, more than five dozen air traffic controllers are in trouble for playing football on the clock as hundreds of flights passed overhead. The 61 controllers had a skeleton crew covering for them. It was there at the Milan airport 3 years ago when an MD-80 passenger jet slammed into another jet, killing a dozen people. The airport's had 45 near misses in the last 6 months.
Hey, come on, we take a break, play a little football.
Oh, poor you.
That was the luckiest lady in the world.
My wife? What did she want?
She said, I think his name is Stephen Page.
Stephen Page?
BNL.
Is she at home?
I don't know. Again, I don't know. It's become my mantra.
I'll only call her back so we can get her voice on the air.
Yes.
She does not sound well.
No, it's too bad. She's caught what I had last week.
Hi, this is Frida.
No.
Okay.
Sounds great, babe.
Stephen Page. I don't think that's the guy's name, though.
Thank you, Rob.
Stephen Page?
All right.
Where are you at, honey? Oh, never mind. Screw it. Call me up. Call me up. You just called the hotline a second ago. Call back. Buzz? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's quite all right. Back in England, Manchester Airport is where more than 300 passengers had to be evacuated after two packed jetliners collided on the runway.
England can kiss my ass.
The 767 rear-ended the 737, both of which were trying to taxi into position for takeoff. The bigger plane's wings sliced off the smaller plane's tail.
Ow!
Passengers say the pilot of the 767 was driving too fast and that the whole plane shook on collision. In the airport's emergency response to the accident, some fire trucks were sent to the wrong gate and the fire hydrant on the airport building didn't work.
Hold on, Buzz. I'm always calling back on the hotline. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, wow. Hello.
What wow. What did I oversell this?
No, you undersold it.
Two things today that I don't think I oversold. My brother getting in the train wreck,
right,
and my wife's voice with a cold.
How are you, Frida?
I don't feel that bad right now.
Oh, Lordy.
But this is, I think, thanks to Marcia, and I didn't even get it the way Marcia and I've always dreamt of passing Germany.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. It came through me.
Yeah.
Honey, why'd you call? Who's the bare naked ladies guy?
I think his name is Stephen Page.
Stephen Page.
You poor thing.
Yeah. No, thank you for the sympathy. My husband touched me way too much. I mean, just on the hand, but he kept touching me.
Yeah, how dare I? What was I thinking? Touching you.
You're touching me. Look at me with those big, sad eyes, the big I'm stick mommy eyes, and trying to hold my hand. And meanwhile, all the germs were jumping off you and on me.
Even now, she's still giving me the biz.
After you're done with this cold and after the operation this weekend, maybe you two can have a second honeymoon in Fallujah.
Listen, baby, it's been great talking to you. Would you just do me a favor and say, wow, Ricky.
Wow, Ricky.
Oh, that's not good.
That's painful. All right, bye, baby.
All right, goodbye,
baby. Bye-bye.
How great is that?
There we go.
And, you know, as the Beatles once sang, to love you get is equal to the love you return, or whatever.
Right,
so
right.
I will, you know, same thing on taking care of her when she's sick.
Yeah, she should probably cut down on talking because her voice is so sore. Yeah.
We should maybe go to just like a silent, maybe not even notes, maybe just like hand signals. Yeah, except here's the only thing I know, Mike.
The box. Trapped in the box.
Thank you for figuring out what I was doing.
And, you know, those will be the hand signals you'll be giving her this weekend.
Yeah, right. Stay away.
Right.
The president has told his people to give him the pros and cons of nominating Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas to be the court's new Chief Justice. The White House is restarting its push to ban gay marriage through a constitutional amendment. And the government is keeping track of the diarrhea medicines we buy to try to get a handle on what the flu situation is like in this country now that we have a shortage of vaccine. Mm. And finally,
you know, the first one, okay, the gay marriage thing, that was I don't want to say mandate, but America did vote on that. That was a big issue in the election. And the second thing, but then you get down to they want to know about our diarrhea medicine.
You better take a track on that diarrhea medication.
And one of the sons of the late Marlon Brando has been implicated in the alleged plot by Michael Jackson to seduce young boys.
Look what they did to my boy.
What's his name, Buzz?
Miko Brando.
Miko
Brando.
Brando.
Hey,
Yeah.
It's, this is Miko Brando.
Then he did a disco remake of the Star Wars music.
M-E-C-O. Very good. Miko.
Finally, New York City officials were mortified recently when a series of ads showed up on the sides of city buses that seemed to suggest that reading books will lead you to getting that special favor. The ad featured a woman in hot pants kneeling before a pile of books. The caption, read books, get brain. Get brain is apparently now street slang for that special favor.
Mike O'Mara, you're grounded.
What I do?
Nothing.
The clothing company that placed the ad says it got no complaints.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, bud.
No. No.
I said we gotta go. Thank you, the guy from CBS. Well, I don't remember his name. But anyway, he was...
Horowitz.
That's it. See you tomorrow with a new episode. Right, Mike. Howard Braunstein. Oh, okay. We gotta go. Oh, look who made the joke today. Oh, yeah. Mr. Redface.
Now he's ashamed.
Ron and Fez are coming up next. Stay tuned for them. We'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you.
Good day to you.
Yeah.
I really thought his name was Horowitz.
No. Sure you did.
I swear to God.
Sure you did, Mike. Right. They all sound the same. I know what you think.
Oh, my God. Eat a lot.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.